with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Right with the world. It is Monday evening. The Horn is back on the air. I'm Bob. Grateful to John Fox for a heroic effort last night bringing all Fox stuff on the air, despite the fact that he is a man tormented by allergies right now. You could hear the heroic quality of his voice, and I'm not making light because I see down where John is, or depending on one's view of the universe, up where John is. Australia, that is. Winter is ending, and spring is coming, and things are blooming, and so yeah, John was a little bit stuffy. And I really appreciate him getting the show on the air last night so that we could get conversation radio started on Sunday night like it should. And I hope you're feeling better, John. I understand John is dosing himself with local raw honey, which is a great way to beat back allergies. So, good on you, John. Good luck. Heading to the chat room here in a second. It's been an interesting weekend. I just got the streaming computer back on the air in time to get us going this evening. Keep your fingers crossed, etc., 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 the things, you know, that all the little electrons keep holding hands until, you know, roughly 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Because we got a lot to talk about, but don't we always? I want to commend everyone, by the way, for a wonderful show this past Friday. Friday on the Front Porch was just Jim Dandy. Start to finish, and of course, as ever, this being conversation radio, I can take very little of the credit for that. I have to afford the credit to you who make things so very interesting, so very compelling, and prove, in fact, prove the theory. Prove the theory of conversation radio, of a model that works differently from typical over-the-air terrestrial right-wing radio, in which the caller gets just long enough to say, "Magadettos from Busted Knuckle Rush, I just want to lick your behind. I love you so much." Well, that's wonderful. Let's talk about what a communist Barack Obama is. Yuck. But anyway, speaking of calling Barack Obama names, just a little something to throw out there for the fun of things. You know who that filthy animal Neil Bortz is, right? And he is. I mean, come on, please. Well, Neil Bortz, I guess he decided he hadn't done anything obnoxious enough to get himself into the news lately. So, tweeting as Talkmaster kind of sounds like a guy with a microphone and a ball gag, doesn't it? Jesus. I don't even know what that... What? Tweeting today, Neil Bortz, on the one-year anniversary of the collapse of Lehman Brothers. Now, why did that happen again? It was probably socialists, wasn't it? It's just like what the little guy with the Charlie Chaplin mustache said 70 years ago. Das ist die Arbeit von Kommunisten. This is the work of communist. Yeah, it was the It was the socialists, the liberals who caused Lehman Brothers. It couldn't have anything to do with predatory capitalism or anything like that. Crony capitalism, anarcho-randianism. No, no, no. Couldn't be any of that now, could it? No. But anyway, this is the quote that that was put out. President Obama spoke on Wall Street. And the purpose was, quote, to try to breathe new life into efforts to overhaul the financial regulatory system. In other words, trying to chase all the damn foxes out of the hen house. If you know what I mean. So, naturally, Talkmaster Neil Bortz immediately tweeted, quote, well, he tweeted that this is what he said. Obama on Wall Street today. That's like sending a child molester to speak to a kindergarten class. Yeah. Yippers. You know, I don't think, how can I put this? I don't think I could ever succeed as a shock jock. Just trying to find the next outrageous thing to say. And again, that goes back to that model of conversation radio. I'm not here to shock you. I'm not here to thrill you or titillate you. If we together get a giggle once in a while, that's okay. But I don't feel a need to one-up anybody. But in right-wing radio, that's all it is. It's one, it's a constant attempt among these right-wing blatherheads, gas bags, be they what the corporate subsidized welfare queens behind microphones. That's what they are. Welfare queens. Corporate welfare queens. It's a constant attempt to one-up each other. You know, let's see, Limbaugh had Barack the Magic Negro, so then the Savage Wiener has to come out with something more shocking. So the Glenn Beck has to come out and say that Barack Obama is a racist. Well, where does that leave poor Talkmaster Neil Bortz? Why, he has to call the President of the United States a child molester. But then again, this is the same guy who said that reforming the predatory American healthcare system is going to kill people. This is the same guy who said that people who are on unemployment are human parasitic garbage. This is a guy who referred to the victims of Hurricane Katrina and the resulting failures of the levees in New Orleans as debris who were chased out by the hurricane. Classy guy, Talkmaster Neil Bortz. What purpose does that serve in the public discourse? Now, I admit I get a little animated now and then. But I don't, no matter how many brown people he ordered killed, I don't think I ever got around to calling George Bush child molester. And of course, this works on a number of levels because, you know, naturally we couldn't let that one speak to the children in that speech last week. So where is Neil Bortz's mind still on children? What do you think about when you think about children, Neil Bortz? And is there hand lotion involved? See how it works? That's how it works. It's disgusting, isn't it? It's absolutely repugnant. But this is simply further proof of the fact that the right wing is fresh out of ideas, fresh out of any attempt at a solution to problems that are very real in this country today and impact the lives of millions of human beings. And all they've got is a tawdry ad hominem attack. Because after all, you've got to do something to keep Bubba awake while he's parked on I-75 or I-85 down the connector in Atlanta. Because no matter how national he likes to tell people he is, Neil Bortz is still a local Atlanta gas bag. It's sad, isn't it? You want another example? A photograph and a post that's up over at Huffington under the politics tab by Rachel Weiner. It turns out that, you remember the big 9-12 tea party this past weekend? Ooh, it was going to be big, big, I tell you, big. Oh, people were going to come and teabag all over the mall in Washington. Just, it was going to be a spectacle. And it was. I mean, there was some spectacle to it. I saw a woman there who had her Obama equals Hitler sign, which she quickly spun around to the other side. No socialism, no health care, as soon as she realized that the C-SPAN camera was on her. I'm not kidding. You remember a few years back when the Million Man March took place in D.C.? And all Flush Flimball could do, my friends, there were not that many Negroes in Washington, D.C. I promise you there were not. And they made sport of the statistical method by which the National Park Service and the Capitol Police and yada, yada, yada estimate the numbers of attendees. Well, guess what? Why would we be surprised? These are conservatives. These are Republicans. So naturally, they're going to lie about their numbers. They put out a photo. They put out a photo, the teabaggers did, of what they said was their rally. And boy, it sure does look like a big one. You've got in the foreground, you've got the Washington Monument, in the far background, the Capitol of the United States, and in the middle, the mall is just packed with teeming humanity. God, it just looks like there's thousands, if not a million people there. All coming to take back their country from those people. I'm gonna take back my country. There's only one problem with this photo. It's a lie. This photo. Because after all, in addition to not having any ideas, not having any solutions, not having any theories, not having any hope, not having any moral basis upon which to talk about how we fix the things that are wrong with this country, the Republicans are also pathological liars. So consequently, they went out. You remember this kind of happened. It happened sort of similar a week or so ago Faces of Coal went out and got stock photos of people standing around being people standing around, and they bought them from iStockPhoto.com or whatever, and then put them on their website and said, these are the faces of coal. And Rachel Maddow does such a lovely job of busting their chops for it. You remember that, don't you? Well, you know, from the party who hasn't had a good idea since 1860, they thought they'd come back to it again because they circulated a photo of some rally on the mall in Washington, D.C. that ain't theirs. How do you know? Well, it may seem glacial, but Washington, D.C. actually does change. And anyone who is intimately familiar with Washington, D.C. Knows that there are things you look for. I mean, for instance, if my colleague and chum and pal and guy that I really, really respect a lot and love being on the air with, Guy James, was to be looking at this photo, he would say in that lovely stentorian voice of his, why, Bob, this cannot be a picture of the teabagger rally. I can clearly tell that three molecules are gone off the cornerstone of the Air and Space Museum. Because That's how well Guy James knows Washington, D.C. I'm not making light of Guy James. Guy James knows Washington, D.C. But as it turns out, this particular photograph, and I do realize I'm talking about a photograph on the radio, and therefore we are heartily engaged in what David from Tennessee christened and has since become a fixture. I realize we're engaged in dancing about architecture. God, I just love that. Dancing about architecture. A dance to the Chrysler Building. It's incongruous. It makes no sense. We're dancing about architecture talking about photographs on the radio. But there's just, see, you got to remember, though, when you're talking about Republicans, conservatives, these patriotic types, you have to remember that you're talking about people for whom America never changes. Remember, these are the people who want America to just, damn it, why can't it be like Leave It to Beaver and everybody's nice and white? And Hugh Beaumont is all of our fathers. Why can't it be that way? We want nothing to change. We want it to always be the same. And, of course, they just sort of made the assumption that Washington, D.C., down around the area of the mall, is, in fact, always the same. But it isn't. Because in this particular photograph, if you were to look at it closely, as Rachel Weiner did over at Huffington Post, you would note that the photograph does not include the National Museum of the American Indian, which opened on September the 14th, 2004. Ergo, that ain't the teabagging crowd. Yeah, I know. Wingnuts lying again. Of course, the problem with the whole teabag protest was the fact that it was never grounded in any sort of popular basis to begin with. It was all cranked up, ginned up, phonied up, dummied up, rubed up, faked up, frauded up by well-paid lobby groups who were trying to use fear to protect. I mean, come on, it's a very, very simple proposition. In order to protect the corporate bottom line. Not protect the insurance agents out there on the street, not protect the paper shuffling people inside the companies, but rather to protect the CEOs and the high-ranking executives of the company, because, as we discussed on Friday, those are the people who are at least titularly threatened by all of this. Because it's their lobster lunches and their limo rides that are on the line. Not the brown bag lunch of the guy who goes to work or the woman who goes to work every day in a cubicle somewhere at Aetna or Cigna or God only knows where. No. It's the CEOs. And all of these things are ginned up. These AstroTurf events are ginned up and lied up and faked up in an attempt to protect our betters. Yeah, no kidding. And of course, you and I, we're sharp enough that, you know, we go over and bless Rachel Weiner's heart. She's certainly sharp enough to look at it and say, hey, this looks like it ain't real. How many people are there? Were there that many? Because see, that humongous crowd, apparently that was what lit Rachel Weiner up, that humongous crowd couldn't possibly have been the teabagger crowd. So she got in touch with a man named Pete Pieringer, public affairs, I'm a professional speaker, don't try this at home, public affairs officer for the D.C. Fire and Emergency Department. And Pieringer said no, and he's the one who said, by the way, this picture can't be from 2009. The teabag crowd only filled the Capitol grounds, maybe up to 3rd Street. According to Rachel Weiner, there were other attempts by the teabaggers to make the event bigger than it was, and I guess if one was a teabagger, one would want things bigger than they actually were. Organizer Matt Kibbe said on stage, ABC News has estimated a crowd of 1 to 1.5 million. There was only one problem with that. No, ABC News didn't. They were, come on, everybody, 1, 2, 3, lying! Because they are 1, 2, 3, liars! Because they are 1, 2, 3, repiglickins! That's what they do. But, you know, fake, phony, and fraudulent is their nature. I got a story here I saved over the weekend in the stack. That it turns out that the American Coalition for Clean Coal Electricity has yet another fraudulent letter on its hands. That brings the number to 14 now. This time through impersonating American military veterans. God almighty, have they no shame. Bob, the answer to that would be no, they don't. It was sent in June, this latest letter that was discovered. It was sent to try to influence, once again, Representative Tom Perriello, Democrat from Virginia, to try to get him to sign on to continuing to poison our country with clean coal. And it was sent on behalf of a local American Legion official in Rocky Mount, Virginia. Shh, don't tell the for-profit media, but this is probably a crime. This isn't a mistake made by Bonner and Associates. This is a crime committed by Bonner and Associates. One of 14 such crimes that have been discovered thus far. It went through the mails. It may actually be mail fraud.
Thank you for listening to Concerns of Vets in Your District. On behalf of the American Legion Post, American Legion VA Post Number 6,
you know, that's sleazy. That's sleazy beyond my ability to describe sleaze.
June 11, 2009. Dear Congressman Perriello, on behalf of the American Legion VA Post Number 6, I'm writing because of two big concerns to our veterans. American energy independence and electricity costs. You're an important member of the Energy and Commerce Committee, and I have read where you are about to vote on environmental legislation sponsored by Congressmen Waxman and Markey. As veterans, members of my post and I have been willing to put our lives on the line to defend our country. Energy independence is important to American national security. Half our nation's electricity comes from coal.
Liar, liar, pants on fire. Maybe it's coal-fired. I don't know. It's down to less than 42% now, boys and girls.
Half of our nation's electricity comes from coal, the cheapest power for creating electricity.
Really? They're charging for sunshine now? I'll be damned. And there's a bill on the wind? Who knew?
America has enough coal right here in the continental U.S. to last for more than 200 years. We need to use our readily available resources and focus on using new technologies to make coal more efficient, therefore reducing greenhouse gases. In our state, there are over 10,000 jobs from coal, and 49% of electricity comes from coal. Please use your position, protect those jobs, establish America's energy independence, and encourage new cleaner technologies for coal use. Please, this is parts underlined, mind you, please make sure the Waxman-Markey bill includes provisions to promote American energy independence while protecting already crash-strapped constituents from increases in electricity prices. Thank you for listening to Concerns of Vets in Your District. Respectfully. And the name's blocked out. American Legion VA Post number 6. Hoo-ah! Not a word of truth in it. It's a total forgery. If it had monetary value, it would be an utterance. As veterans, members of my post and I have been willing to put our lives on the line to defend our country. God, how just gut-emptying, sickening is a fraud like that. What a mockery of veterans who really did put their lives on the line. What a mockery. What disrespect. What profound disregard for the blood and the gore and the guts and the sweat and the tears that are represented by all those names on that humongous granite wall in Washington, D.C. But that's okay. Because they're Republicans. And Republicans don't give a damn about any sacrifice that was ever made on behalf of or in the name of anyone or institution from this country from its inception to the present, and they will not give a rat's rear end in the future either. Because they're Republicans. Because it is how they are. They will literally mock the sacrifices of those who no longer have a voice. A Republican will literally mock the hero dead of this nation if it means protecting the bottom line and the bank account and the fat, bulging wallet of the likes of Don Blankenship. That is what a Republican will do, because with Republicans, remember, it is always, 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 always party first. Country maybe, but always party first. Party on, Republicans. Party on, Bob. Well, let's see what's happening. Let's see what's happening on the telephone. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob. It's Kevin from Brooklyn.
Hey, Kevin. What's up?
Yeah. You ever heard of the technology CGI? That's how they got their millions.
Oh, yeah, yeah, computer generated, yeah. Computer graphic, yeah.
Yeah, that's how they got their million.
Well, the thing is, though, there's not even any CGI in that photograph, Kevin. I mean, it's a photograph that is older than September 14th, 2004. Because there's no American Indian Museum in the photograph.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
It's not even a real photograph.
Yeah. I want to jump back to our conversation we had last week regarding Barack Obama.
Okay, yep.
And, you know, I think I did offend a few people of what I said.
I don't know that they were necessarily offended. I think some people disagreed.
Disagreed or what have you. You know, I just want to say that people who respect our president, don't get me wrong, but... You know, coming from a point of view, you know, American point of view, again, we tend to shoot ourselves in the foot a lot of times. And, you know, like you, I forgot his last name was Van. The guy who was forced to step down.
Oh, Van Jones?
Van Jones. I think he was probably one of the strongest member of the administration. And, you know, we're constantly chipping away, you know, at a lot of this stuff. You know, it's like we're bending ourselves like a pretzel to suit these people. And it's like this party lost and then the tiny minority. And it seems like, to me, it seems like mid-2000s all over again when they said, sit down and shut up. You know, it's like they're telling us the same thing anyway. You know?
Yeah, even though we're in the majority.
Yeah. And, you know, no, I want to address that fool who yelled out liar.
Oh, you mean not really named Joe Wilson?
Oh, whatever.
Yes, Addison Graves Wilson.
Yeah. You know, it's like South Carolina just needs to secede. And I'm telling you, we need to start letting these states secede. But even though the reality is if we gave them permission to, they would never do it. Because they like their federal money coming in. It's just they want to keep it amongst themselves and their little interests. You know, it's, you know, it's very much a shame that institutionalized racism is so burnt into this country's DNA that, you know, and what we used to get with Bush, if you don't, you know, you may not respect him, but respect the office.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Oh, well, or yeah, got to respect the office.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
But it's well, you know, I'm asking the same thing of a lot of these bigots now. Okay, fine. You don't like him because he's black? Okay, fine. But respect the office.
You know, I took real issue with that when George Bush was in there. And I did that because I don't think the office has any authority that is not brought to it by virtue of the authority or the respect commanded by the occupant thereof.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's just the same that, you know, and again, it's just, you know, a bunch of bigots that are saying, basically telling him that, you know, you cannot tell me what to do.
Yeah.
You cannot tell me what to do.
But that doesn't it run much deeper in this case? It's not the office that the right wing doesn't respect. They claim respect for the office. It is the fact that one is in the office, Kevin.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
That has them bananas.
Oh yeah. And, you know, it's just, it bothers me. It really does. I cannot, you know, the double standard. And it's at a point where, you know, like I said, at times I am so concerned that, you know, because if you ever looked at, you should have seen Bonner. The Republican section are like, they want to lynch him. If you sat down and read the speech, and when they start showing the Republican part section of Congress, it looked like they wanted to lynch him, especially Bonner.
Oh,
You know, the one whose true calling is to be the mascot for Syracuse University.
Oh, you mean John Boehner?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
If looks could kill.
Oh, Barack Obama would have gone away in a basket.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. But, you know, there was more than that. There was, you know, the guy whose name isn't really Joe, whose last name really is Wilson. there was the guy sitting there with his, he didn't say anything, he just had a sign in his lap, said, "What plan?" Oh, there were a bunch of them. And the fact of the matter is, nothing is going to make them respect Barack Obama, because their bigotry and their racism runs bone deep, Kevin. Bone deep. You know, the not really Joe, not really named Joe Wilson. You know, the reason he did what he did is because of who he is. He didn't suddenly stop, he didn't suddenly decide to dislike Barack Obama because Barack Obama's a Democrat. This is a guy who worked for Strom Thurmond. This is a woman who called, Ellie Washington, Strom's daughter, a liar when she came out and said that Strom was her daddy. And said it was a scurrilous attempt to bring dishonor upon an honorable man. Do you get what I'm getting at? This is a racism problem, not a political problem. Kevin? No, dear. Kevin, if you can hear me, I can't hear you, so try back. In the meantime, we'll try this line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, what's up?
Not much. So let me get this right. Dick Armey turned out to be as shriveled and not as big as he's been bragging about pretty much since he sicked back on this whole 9/12 thing. So this is where we stand, correct?
Exactly. Dick Armey.
Yeah.
Was not as big as Dick Armey said his Dick Armey was.
Yeah.
He was just wishing it was bigger.
Yeah, which pretty much puts it completely in tune with the Republicans these days, don't you think?
Oh,
I mean, that's what.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's why they carry these big old guns.
Right, because they are great big they're little compensators is what they are.
Yeah, absolutely. Just like, you know, the middle-aged guy that gets the hot Corvette or whatever, you know, it's all about compensation because they don't have anything worth arguing about. It's just we need to stop them. That's it.
Exactly. But what I was trying to get across with Kevin was why. And I'm sorry, granted, they went after Bill Clinton tooth and toenail, and that was political. But they're going after Barack Obama with a special kind of viciousness that goes beyond anything they did to Bill Clinton. If they had a majority in the House and a majority in the Senate, there would be impeachment hearings underway over the czars. Or whatever else they could dummy up.
Oh yeah, because
the hatred they bear Barack Obama is at least 50% skin color.
At least, probably more. I mean, it's just, what can you say? They're throwbacks in this ascent because, I mean, this is the same garbage that, I'm only 31 years old, but I know my history. I know what basically all the civil rights battle is, this whole thing right here, because, oh my God, they're black, or oh my God, it's an Asian person, or oh my God, you know, isn't one of the guys on their on their little hit list there is a Jewish person that they want to get out of Obama's cabinet or run of advisors?
Absolutely.
Yeah, because, you know, got to bring back the anti-Semitism. I mean, because, you know, that's of course, is just ridiculously out of fashion. Oh, since, oh, I don't know, 1945.
That's the question. Are they throwbacks? Because if they're a throwback, that means that there is some element within Republican culture that is normal. Or is this them with the rubber mask off, Garrett? Is this them with, are they throwbacks, or is this how they've always been?
I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I think that what the Republican Party was, you know, theoretically founded on hasn't existed since Hartman says, like, the 1880s. I mean, it is the rubber mask off. I mean, there's probably a couple of oddballs that believe in the party of Lincoln and actually buy into the hype, but they're fooling themselves because it's this Beck, Limbaugh, Wiener, thing where they're just total hateful racists. They hate everybody except for themselves, and, hell, they probably hate themselves, too.
And if you want to get into the deep psychology of it, there's a serious amount of that that's involved. You know, self-hatred inside bigotry and racism, absolutely. Not to mention feelings of profound insecurity.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's been... there's a reason why so many of us on the left, kind of joke in our own quarters, and especially Sam Cedar, how he used to have the closet door sound effect when he mentioned certain Republicans. Because, I mean, it's just, that's how bad it is. It's like we assume that they have some skeleton in their closet because they hate so with such vitriol that it's almost cartoonish.
Yeah, it is almost cartoonish. It would be cartoonish if there was something humorous about it. It would be cartoonish if it was something that wasn't real. But
yeah.
this is very real, very dangerous hatred. You know, this is idiots coming to unarmed meetings carrying guns. And I don't know. Maybe these people who do that sort of thing are so wrapped up in their the fetishistic the approach to firearms that they've never been spoken to.
Bob,
how can I? Well, wait. See, I knew law enforcement guys, and they said, you never bring that thing out. They said, I never put this thing on in the morning before I come to work without the realization that it may come out and kill somebody today, that I may be forced to use it to bring an end to someone's life. There's an old theater rule, and I know this is really far afield from what the law enforcement reality was, but there's an old rule in theater that you do not introduce a loaded gun on stage without it going off at some point, because it just fundamentally violates everything that the audience expects.
Oh, of course.
And I think maybe it was Anton Chekhov who propounded that rule. And of course, that would make sense. He was a genius and all that stuff. But yeah.
But I mean, it's so bad. I mean, because that nutball preacher in Phoenix there, apparently his parishioners yesterday, some of them were armed. Not just the one guy with the AR-15, but apparently they were, because they have the protests going on there, they were packing heat yesterday, from what I've heard.
Oh, I'm sure they were. They were flaunting the D.C. gun decision, among other things.
Yeah, but the whole point of it was to threaten the people that have been protesting them because, the guy that's running that church is a hateful, piece of junk. I mean, when you get down to it.
Yeah, he is. And frankly, within the last 8 years, if some a member of Louis Farrakhan's group had done something similar, we would be having terrorism trials around the clock now, Garrett. It's a fact.
Oh, it's absolutely a fact. They were they were waiting for it and for something to go wrong. And the thing is that they were using people that were, you know, on some level, you know, liberals, because of the fact is that every, you know, Farrakhan was more or less, you know, anti-Semitic, or at least said things that could be construed at it. And it was just, you know, they were waiting for it because they had already ginned up the hate because, I mean, one, he was black, but two, he said things that were going to rile up people. I mean, it's just how it is. I mean, I know it's the same thing with Ice-T. It's like he was black and, ooh, he was a rapper. But Cop Killer, you know, for argue the merits of the song or anything like that. But the fact is that if he had been a white death rock guy, that song we'd never even have heard about it. But Ice-T was a rapper extraordinaire, so fire up the horses.
Yeah, because again, yeah, he wants to kill our hero cops.
And it's like, I mean, and you know, the funny thing is Ice-T's been on one of the Law and Order, whatever, one of the 20 million that is on the air, and it's like he's even heard from cops, like, you know. But Ice-T, we understand what you're talking about. We know what type of cops that you're talking about. Because this is the whole point. I mean, that's what a lot of those, you know, the whole hardcore rappers in the early 90s were talking about. Many of them were from South California. Oh, my. And they were, you know, really railing on cops because they saw corrupt cops. And, gee, that they didn't get any apologies when it turned out that, you know, everybody realized that, oh, wow, the LAPD, they're pretty corrupt.
Yeah, imagine that.
I mean,
Mark Furman, anybody? Mark Furman, hello?
Yeah, I mean, Johnny Cochran made his name on weeding out corruption in the LAPD. That was his career before.
Yeah, what was it? Was the Rampart Unit, was that the Sheriff's Department or the LAPD?
Oh.
But I just remember reading story after story after story of just,
it's Daryl Gates and all, most of the people that, you know, were exposed as being corrupt are gone now, and it's still a cliche because, I mean, it was that widely prevalent.
And the thing is, it was something that had been talked about forever, simply because, among other things, going back to, I can cite Richard Pryor comedy albums back when albums were on vinyl and 8-track tape. Where he was doing routines about LAPD violence.
Oh, sure.
And that's, I mean, what, 75, 76, 77?
Yeah, pretty much all through the 70s, and there were he had a few in the late 60s too, come to think of it.
So,
yeah.
But no, just, you know, I think Kevin had a point, and I hated that I lost him. You know, this double standard they establish of, you know, well, you know, you got to show respect for the officers, but they won't because their overarching hate for the man in the office precludes it. Because, you know, again, it's another case of what Juanita cites so often, Garrett. You know, I-O-K-I-Y-A-R. It's okay if you're a pig licking.
Yeah,
nothing. And you know, that in its own right, Garrett, is an extension of the philosophy that operates behind the shady, shadowy little dominionist, perhaps Christian Reconstructionist group, the family. Remember where, you know, if you hike the Appalachian Trail and fly off business class to Argentina to get it on with your Argentinian mistress and blow out of your job for 5 days, and anybody else in the world, that would be considered a voluntary quit. Well, as long as you're with the family, you come back there and you say, well, this is what I did. And, well, that's okay that you did that because, you know, God loves us better.
Well, yeah.
What?
I mean, look at us. We got one of our senators that has that, is in that freaking group, Ensign. And, I mean, I've never particularly liked him. I mean, he's been a representative. I mean, he back when he was a representative when I was a senior in high school, he spoke at my government class. And it's like, I mean, it was, you could tell the BS going on. I mean, that made that told me all I needed to know about Ensign was that appearance at our school, at my high school in 95. I mean, he was just that there. I mean, it's never shocked me ever since. If anything that's shocked me is that he came within one extra, some voting shenanigans away from taking out Harry Reid. I mean, because he only lost by 480 votes. And that was before Nevada got the Diebold, you know, voting machines. I mean, had it been after that point, he would have won.
Yep. Yep. It's disturbing, isn't it?
He had, and the worst part is that in 98, he had no business being that close to Harry Reid. I mean, I will rail on Harry Reid as good, well as anybody, but, I mean, he had, Ensign in 98 had no business doing it. And, I mean, the scary thing is that if John Porter had not lost to Dina Titus last year, John Porter would be the number one choice to take on Harry Reid. And that guy, I mean, he's one of those Dick Cheney-looking guys. He looks just like Dick Cheney.
Ew. That's just creepy to think about.
Yeah, and I mean, he was mudslinging. The reason why John Porter lost is because he used all of the things all of the mudslinging tactics against Dina that Gibbons tried to use 2 years before. That's the only reason, because he was so unoriginal, he couldn't think up new sleaze to get up on Dina Titus. And Titus, she was, you know, she was smart enough to realize, I ain't going to take this crap, and she took him head on in her ad. She even had her mother in one of her ads last year.
Wow.
Yeah, she totally shot Porter down. I mean, it doesn't hurt that we already were kind of figuring out that Gibbons was a dog lunch, but, I mean, Titus, you know, she did take on Porter.
And, well, look, the fact, and that, you know, that kind of fighting back. Well, look, what's the woman, I'm trying to think here, what's the woman's name that beat Liddy Dole in North Carolina?
Oh.
You remember when Liddy Dole came out and said, and I don't think she likes Jesus.
Yeah, I forget her name, too. I'm feeling dense for not remembering it. But, yeah, I mean, in, she thought that she was going to cruise in that election.
Yeah, because all you got to do is get out and flog Jesus a little bit, and they'll come right now. See? No, because when the opposition comes back and says, what is this evil woman talking about? I teach Sunday school in the Presbyterian Church.
Oh yeah. I mean, I think that.
But tone deaf is something. Tone deaf is something Republicans generally are. There's a certain tone deafness to. Let's see. I got a great example of it here. I saw this thing coming out. It was Friday night as the show was ending, Garrett, and I saw this story come out about Newt Gingrich. Talk about tone deafness. Newt Gingrich's always been famous for sending out these phony, baloney, bogus, dummied up, ginned up, faked up awards for, you know, if you send him $5,000, you'll get an award for being an American business genius or some equal bit of, you know, garbage. Well, he had a little oopsie. He has an organization, Newt does, called American Solutions for Winning the Future. You know, because Newt's always been into language, remember? He's the one who said to use the word child molester in the same sentence with the word Democrat, and not to call it the Democratic Party, but to call it the Democrat Party so you could focus on the rat. Okay?
Which is an old line, too, because McCarthy used that.
Right, but Gangrene picked up on it, and he loves to play with language, and he loves to be real cute with that kind of stuff, Garrett. So naturally, he's got this dummied up award. He's got the Entrepreneur Year of the Year award. And American Solutions for Winning the Future sent a fax out to Allison Vivas. Okay. Informing Allison Vivas that she had been chosen a 2009 Entrepreneur of the Year award by the Business Defense and Advisory Council, the BDAC. It said, among other things, this is just darling, Newt would like to arrange a private dinner with you at the historic Capitol Hill Club on the evening of October 7, 2009 in Washington. You'll dine privately with Newt at this exclusive venue, and he'll take the occasion to present you with your well-deserved award and have your photo taken together. This tremendous honor is a testament to your... Now, bear in mind, he probably sent 50,000 of these things out, okay? This tremendous honor is a testament to your success in bidding, your business, and recognition of the risks you take to create jobs and stimulate the economy. As an award winner, you'll be on the ground floor as Newt and his council begin the work to turn this country around. Newt's looking forward to hearing your ideas on getting the economy moving again and getting your feedback on his plans over dinner. Allison Vivas, again, she runs a business called Pink Visual.
Oh, boy, what does it do?
It's a porn DVD superstore.
Nothing quite as American as the porn.
And so they quickly rescinded their invite. And Pink, what's the name of this outfit again? Pink Visual said, Allison was disappointed to receive a call this morning from an ASWF representative stating that the facts had been sent to her inadvertently. We're not entirely clear on how one inadvertently sends a fax to the right person at the correct fax number, so our sense is that this is damage control on the part of a group that is having second thoughts about either recognizing the excellent work of a porn company entrepreneur in light of their own conservative political and social orientation, or having second thoughts about their promotional methodology and communication proposals.
Or, more likely, what happened is that they mixed up the numbers, at least in that one instance, they mixed up the numbers for where they buy their personal porn stash, and, you know, well, you know, we kind of got into the, you know, you're a great American.
Wrong Rolodex, I think is what you're saying. Wrong Rolodex.
Yeah.
No, use the Christian Rolodex, not Newt's personal Rolodex, okay? Can we get it straight next time?
And besides, note to Newt, you can find porn for free on the Internet. The Internet is for porn. Oh, never mind. He probably wouldn't want to see Avenue Q, so, you know,
well,
scratch the Internet is for porn.
Hey, Garrett, wonderful conversation. Thanks for calling in this evening.
No problem.
All right, you take care. Bye now.
Bye.
Calling from Las Vegas. That's our pal, Garrett. Yeah, we're not entirely clear on how one inadvertently sends a fax to the right person at the correct fax number.
But, you know, it's okay if you're a Republican. You don't say, oh, well, what a bunch of greedy little dumbasses we are. We sent out a blast fax, and one of them landed on the desk of a porn entrepreneur, and, well, you know, shame on us. No, it was inadvertent. And we didn't really mean to tell her that it was a testament to her success in building her business and recognition of the risks that she takes to create jobs and stimulate the economy. Oh, no, no. No, we, that was inadvertence, what that was. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Maura. Senator Kay Hagan, Democrat of North Carolina, was the one that Libby, whatever, said, yeah, she likes them atheists. Yeah, that one. And one promise as we go through the show this evening, and we got a bunch of stuff to catch up with. Your calls, of course, are always welcome. 304-658-3333 is the direct dial number. Or toll free, if you need to do it that way. You can reach us at 877-443-2366. 877, the numeral 4, head on. Either way, email rolls into bobkincaid@gmail.com, but I have a promise for you. And this is as much as I'm going to breach that promise. We are not, in the next 2 hours of this program, we are not going to talk about the Video Music Awards, and we are not going to talk about Kanye West. Or whoever the child radio country star was that got upstaged by Kanye West. Not going to do it. Not going to do it. Okay? Just say it. There is some other stuff to talk about. Did you happen to see the New York Times article this weekend? I know John was talking about it last night on his show. On water. And the flagrant violations of the Clean Water Act that take place all over the United States of America. We could talk about that. Maybe you won't drink the water. Maybe you'll have a nice cool glass of milk. No, I'm going to ruin that for you too. I'm sure Reverbo's just running around his house going, get off the milk, Bob! Don't ruin my milk! Probably will. And speaking of milk and milk cartons, faces coming to a milk carton near you soon, quite possibly. We never know. So that's all coming up right here on America's listener-supported liberal voice, right here on the Horn.
Stop you coming through. Oh, oh, oh. They took the credit for your second symphony. Rewritten by machine on your tech touch. Thinking ahead means preparing for the future. The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95.
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
Indeed, indeed. About 8 minutes past the hour of the second hour of the program tonight, getting the week well started. And just a program note or two, because of work requirements, Guy James will not be live this week, but he is busting, absolutely busting, I tell you, to get back to the, to being behind the microphone next week. These are the pressures of trying to keep all these plates in the air at the same time. And I think you know a little bit of what that's like. So, no Guy this week, and additionally, no me on Thursday. You know, until middle school football season is over, I will be a guy who is out on Thursdays. Just because, well, got to go watch Ferg play and watch Doodle cheer. That comes with the parenting turf, if you know what I mean. Yeah, before I ruin anybody's the evening or anything, I will, well, yeah, let's go back to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
I heard my name called in relation to some sort of what?
Well, no, I don't know. Maybe you enjoy a nice cold glass of milk every morning or something, but you won't when I'm done.
Well, you know, it reminds me of that Saturday Night Live skit, I think, with Belushi or somebody. They're talking about the milk council. This is just like light years ago. He's something about how, boy, I tell you, nothing gives me like can stop my heart and clog up my arteries better in the morning than I've met. Warm glass of milk. I don't know if you remember this.
Yeah.
They're holding up that glass. And,
oh, I thought maybe you were going to go with, it's a floor wax. No, it's a dessert topping. Hey, stop fighting. It's both.
It is both. Want to play a game, a fun game?
We can.
Okay. Okay, the category is South Carituckee. Can they raise the sleeve bar any higher? That's the category.
South Carituckee.
That's what I, what the heck, you know. Let's try to dress up that pig as best we can. So, let's see. The question is, who recently resigned? A somewhat of a celebrity recently resigned from a post, political post, that great state. The answer needs to be in the form of a question.
Would that be the lieutenant governor?
Oh, damn, no, that's not right. You get another chance. Where's your bell? Here, I'll hit that for you. Nope, not the lieutenant governor.
Oh, gee, Alex, I'm stumped.
And it is not the rider of the Pampas himself, Mr. Sanford, who seems to be hanging in there.
That hiker of the Appalachian Trail, yes.
Man, he just will not...
Speaking of which, though, I did get to catch, I guess it was replay. I got to catch a little bit of his press conference in which he excoriated the liberal media for creating this problem for him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean it was the straw right into the bad tequila bottle. I mean, I couldn't believe it. Now, see, the liberal media is being very irresponsible about this. Media's going out there and they're fueling this here fire. Making people think that I did something wrong when I flew to Argentina business class. Why, there have been South Carolina officials that have flown business class since the 1950s.
Well, the nerve of the press actually starting to do their job. Gee, like it's difficult to...
I love the diversion that it's about the business class and not about abandoning your post for 5 days and slipping off to... do a little bit of the old in, out, in, out with one's Argentine mistress.
It is. It's always about the money with these folks. They know the cost of everything and the value of nothing, as they say. Yeah, that is priceless.
Swallow a mountain and gag on a gnat.
Well, I love that, the more I think about it. That's really the only issue, is that he didn't fly, you know, it didn't just go, regular tourist class like the rest of us, yeah. It's all blown over by now.
No, don't say blown, okay? You can't, no, not in this context. You can't say that.
While we're on the subject of pornography, always amusing. I bought that thing, and I just, look, I hit that bell all day long. So it gives you the idea what kind of a life I have. But anyway.
Well, if I had one, I would too.
Yeah, well.
You're just John Henry, the bell ringing man.
I guess that would be me. But where were we here? Oh, yes, pornography and the Republicans. Always an amusing combination. So let's get back to try to answer our question here so you can possibly move on to the bonus round, okay?
Okay.
I really want to see you get there because there's a lovely lounge suite waiting for you. Let's see. Who could it be in South Carolina we could talk about? They have such an incredibly satisfying array of politicians down there. You just don't even know where to start. But since the topic is porn, could it have something to do with someone on the, Board of Education?
Oh, why, it could. It could.
It could, yeah. A woman?
Yeah, okay.
How about the, not just any woman, but an epic woman here, the chairwoman of the South Carolina State Board of Education. One who, by the way, believes...
Now, was she posing or looking?
Well, she was doing both, I guess. It's hard to say, really, but it was definitely something juicy was going on. I'll just read this to you, or well, I'll do it for you again. Yes, Bob, who was Kristen McGuire?
Kristen McGuire.
Yeah, resigned her post, I'll just sort of paraphrase this, resigned her post shortly before a news source down there published a piece claiming that she is a prolific author of hardcore erotic fiction on the internet.
Wait, oh, no, stop it. There's no pictures? Oh. She's doing it with the dirty words?
There's a picture of her. She's, you know, I don't like to judge people by the way they look. You know me. The incredible thing about her, of course, is, well, it's exactly what you would expect. She, of course, is a homeschooler. She believes Jesus rode on dinosaurs. She's an absolute...
died for her sins, and she has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ?
Vocal anti-evolutionist, and this was, of course, when she was elected on this. I, you know, people, you do get what you vote for, people. Her appointment was, quote, hailed as a victory for social conservatives and cheered on Christian blogs and websites across the Southeast.
Oh, do tell, please, 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 tell me you've got an excerpt.
I wish I did. I wish I did. I had to find this pretty quick. Whoa. Here, wait, we may have something here. Yes, there are samples, but I don't want to go to them. I'll tell you what I'll do. I will send you this website, and you can have fun with it.
Oh, I will, because I'll... You know what? I don't know if she'll participate, but I may. This is just the promise that I will make. Because... Let me make sure she's not around listening. Agnes has a fabulous porn voice.
That can come in really handy. Look what I... Look at all the mileage I'm getting out of my belt. I'd love to have a porn voice to go with it.
Yeah, and so... You know, maybe I can get her to come back here, and we'll just take a couple of minutes of right-wing porn. What's the woman's name again?
The woman's name is, here she is, Kristen McGuire. I mean, you can't get higher on the state board than her. This is chairwoman elevation we're talking about here. Well, in the past tense, of course, she is. What else we got here? The article also alleges that McGuire engaged in lap dances in bars, public indecency.
Okay, I'm gonna go totally sexist right now. I don't want to know about the lap dances until I've seen a picture.
Here's a little excerpt, and let's see. You know, as with all the everybody, you know, we've been through this before. Have you ever met a truly funny conservative Republican? No.
Not trying to be.
Or just, you know, they laugh.
Ah, Bridget Keeney is her nom de plume.
Oh, look at you go. Now, this is so good. He reached up to loosen his tie as he walked into his desk. Sitting in the middle of the blotter on his desk was his Man of the Year statue with an envelope leaning against it. He picks up, hey, we got to get to do this. Yeah, I can't do this. Anyway, here comes Lauren, Dressed to Kill. We have a lot of F words coming up. But anyway, no doubt, that I'm going to guess that she can't do porn at all, that she's going to be a total failure at this. Just like there are failures at any sort of sophisticated, not that porn is sophisticated, it's pathetic, but it can be, I suppose, somewhat amusing if you, with a touch of irony, but.
Oh, I'm just sitting here looking for some. I'm sitting here looking at potential titles for her porn movie to star Jenna Jameson in the fairly near future.
Oh God, I'm surprised you weren't on top.
No, I missed this one. I missed this one. This is one of those moments where I'm just loving being on the show and you know having you show me. It's like Christmas, Reverbo.
I know, and living below the Mason-Dixon line, it is Christmas every day. It's a gift, as they say. It just, I mean, what will South Carolina have for us next week? I mean, how can you top this? But they were.
Well, no, I guessed it was the lieutenant governor because he got outed a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, there's trouble. He's got some issues going with him, too. They don't want him to succeed Stanford because he has, no one's happy with him either.
He's got a real bad case of the gay.
That's a death sentence for those people.
So, potential film titles.
Let's have a few here.
Debbie Does Dinos.
Yeah.
The Intelligent Designer in Miss Jones.
Perfect.
Young Earth, Young Love.
Wherever you are, that's where I want to be. I can't move on my computer fast enough and hold a cell phone.
Creation Flirtation.
Nice. A little kind of softcore there, but nice.
Miss McGuire and the Sire.
Yeah, now we're getting somewhere.
Creationists Gone Mild.
What? I mean, how can you become...
Ooh! Saw the photo! Ooh!
Uh-oh. What photo? What photo?
Well, it's just a photo of Kristen McGuire.
Yeah, there she is. Is she clapping her hands? Is that the one you're looking at?
Yes, and she's wearing something that looks like
a jacket made out of a blanket.
That's the one I'm looking at.
Are those like Christmassy designs on it or something?
I don't know. And let's look at her and see if we can see the salacious porn woman under this this mask of conservatism here.
Oh, my inner eyes are burning.
Hard to tell. But
No. There's another word you can't use in this story.
What's that?
I'm not going to say it. You can't make me.
Well, but what letter does it begin with?
You said it was hard to tell.
Okay. Well, it's difficult.
There we go. See, you can do it.
One thing I can tell you, and I'm real good at this. We couldn't live with her for 2 seconds. One of us would be dead. That's all I can tell you. Real quick here, I was in D.C. last week. Oh, I got to mention this. You know, I mean, does anybody look cooler than the vice president in a Hawaiian shirt?
You know what?
He says hi, by the way.
Now, hey, Joe. Tell him I want my Hawaiian shirt back. He borrowed that, you know.
I took care of it. But what I'm wondering really quick is, I couldn't listen. Obviously, guys were just, the phone line must have been burning. What was it? Wednesday night when Obama gave the healthcare speech, what was the basic feedback on from your show? That he sold out, or were people trying to find hope in this, or what?
I got an unhappy email from somebody saying that I should never, ever, ever, ever criticize or make light of Arianna Huffington, and that let's see, I'm a loser because I don't really want healthcare to pass.
Someone accused you of this?
Yes.
Oh. Maybe it was Rob Kincaid, your evil twin on that other show.
Yeah, it may be. Maybe. Or Reuben Kincaid, who was the manager of the Partridge Family. Maybe. Don't know.
Well, probably was Thursday. His talk was 8 o'clock. I listened to the whole thing, and I don't know what to make of it.
That's the darndest thing. I mean, on the one hand, I come back to the air on Friday, Reverbo. And everybody says, yeah, it was a great speech. And yeah, it was a great speech. It was, yes, he gives great speeches. We know now.
Oh, yeah.
Don't think we ever doubted it, except for the really bad one that he gave in Charleston, West Virginia, that I was present for when he was, you know, I guess polishing up his speech making. I guess we're the trial run of the Broadway show in Buffalo now, politically speaking. It was a bad speech. But anyway. No, this doesn't go on the highlight reel. This isn't. This doesn't make the air check reel. But anyway. So everybody, it was a great speech, and everybody was saying, well, you know, I think it certainly sounds to me like he wants some kind of public option. Blah blah blah. So what happens? After a positively orgiastic day of watching college football. And by that I mean I just watched college football till I was sated on college football Saturday. Okay, I just did.
I used to do that, and then I went down to South America and got a special treatment, and I don't need to do that.
And you're all better now? Yes. But anyway, so you know, Sunday I get up and putter around and click onto a couple of the Sunday bobblehead shows, you know, before I go over to NFL matchup or whatever.
Oh, you have it bad. Oh.
Yeah. Well, I can get through a Sunday easier than I can get through a Saturday. College is my problem. I can quit the NFL anytime I want to. See, I really can.
My cousin Larry could stop drinking anytime he wanted to, only he didn't want to.
Didn't want to. See, that's it. So I'm watching the bobbleheads. You know, this week with George Snuffleupagus mates the nation, whatever.
Yeah.
And they got the same people on both shows. I personally think that Bill Gates' boys have been hard at work in the basement of somewhere in D.C. creating a cloning device because these people are on at the same time. Then they're the same people.
Amazing.
But lo and behold, I got these bobbleheads talking. And Agnes is standing there watching me, and she's watching the blood rise into my face, and my face turn all just, you know. And they said, well, can we finally say that the public option is
dead now. Well, yes, Jane, I think we can. And did Barack Obama kill the public option? Well, no, no, George, I think it's more like he's going to let the Senate kill it for him. Anyway, I was right down the rabbit hole again. What? Huh? We were all listening to the same speech, right? And of course they came around to the obligatory question about the guy who's not really named Joe but is named Wilson, who called President Obama a liar. You know, that what's his name? Artemis Graves Wilson, the Thaddeus Graves, I don't know. Addison Graves Wilson. Yeah, you'd call yourself Joe too, wouldn't you? Newt Gingrich said to, well, yes, he shouldn't have said that. But, of course, I remember when Democrats booed George Bush when he talked about Social Security. Isn't there a difference? All right, Newt, we understand the standard now. Addison Graves Wilson can drop the calling him a liar and just call him what he really wants to, okay? Will that be all right with you, Newt? Will you come out and say, well, they booed George Bush when Addison Wilson comes out and calls him...
Well, sure, there's no difference between a spitball and an M16.
Spitball and a snowball with a rock in it. They're both spherical.
That's right. I don't know. I heard the whole speech, and it was an interesting speech because he is great at this. I mean, he had me going for a while, then I was pissed off at him. Then I liked where he was going, and then I thought his soul was down the river again. And then at the end, he was, He is such a genius at making speeches. You wish that was his job, but of course it's not. I don't know. Maybe it is. I think the Senate's going to... I think this thing is doomed anyway. I don't have
it. See, that's where I am. And you're the one that accuses me constantly of bringing you down. Well, you just said something... I don't like going there, Reverbo. But I keep getting this feeling that I've paid my quarter and I'm on my way to see this way to see the egress.
Somebody, I was listening to NPR today for a little while, his Talk of the Nation thing, and there was they were talking about decorum in American government in the House, and what constitutes. When you go over the line and when it's just, how bad the ridicule can get in this country, what the things are and all this kind of stuff. And, FDR took just a whole trainload of crap. And Lincoln took a vat of crap. And they're going on and on about it. But somebody called up, and I really think this is an interesting point. They were talking about, with our friend Wilson. God, you just would have wished that Obama would have just stopped and said, what did you say? And see what he would have done. If he would have, escalated it. He would have said, I called you a liar. I mean, you just wish you would have stopped and just called him out, don't you? But anyway, getting off the track.
Yeah, and...
Someone hold up and...
No, I... You do. What did you just say? You want to say it again?
Yeah.
Now that you've interrupted me, let me stop the speech for a minute. I want to hear everybody say it. I want everybody to hear you say it. Say it again, nice and loud, Congressman. Say it nice and loud.
Wait till you get all the TV cameras on your face. Let's hear it. Anyway, a person made a great point, and that was that the whole context of this sort of everything changed since Reagan. Well, I'm going to go over ground we already know. But the point was that everything had changed since this whole new, and I think Albert likes to use that word, paradigm, and maybe it would apply here. The concept that government is evil. And we know when that started,
the nine most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government, and I'm here to help.
You got it. And that is what is directing and informing and, dare we say, inspiring these jackasses who think they're so clever to essentially, I mean, I think you're just being as un-American as you can be. What we're dealing with are people who think that the American system of government sucks. It is evil, and it should be destroyed, and if so, I can yell liar to the President of the United States, who, by the way, we invited to speak to us. That's how that works.
Well, you know, there is talk of the House passing something saying that, you know, he's just not a very nice person.
I see. There are all these cool things I found out, how in the Prime Minister Gordon Brown, he is not a, he is the head of government in England, and the President of the United States is the head of state. There's all these cool distinctions that I learned.
That's very true.
Know about this. And so it is entirely different to call the head of state a liar in front of the world. It's way different than just calling, because the Prime Minister is a member of the House of Commons. He is one of them. But the President of the United States is not a member of that House of Representatives.
No, not by any stretch of the imagination.
Not even close. And he, I mean, he's as close as you can get to a king, as Jefferson thought we better get, but he does, there is some kind of monarchy type of thing with the President. He is not, he is the
it is, well, he is referred to the as the first magistrate in early writings, and therefore it is proper to say that there is something magisterial about the presidency.
Okay. And also something interesting was, I guess, starting with Jefferson, I don't know, and then for like the next 130 years, there really was no, like, the president didn't address Congress. He wrote out a statement, and that was...
Yeah, literally mailed it in.
Yeah, they didn't want us in front of it. They didn't want this whole monarchy. He didn't like the look of it. And then I guess Woodrow Wilson cranked it up, and they've been doing it that way ever since. But you know, I just thought all that stuff was kind of interesting. People, the difference between the parliament and our thing. Because yes, our president is actually the head of state.
Oh,
anyway,
I got to drag you back into the quagmire for a minute, Roberto.
I'm comfortable there.
Okay, we're going back to Ms. McGuire for a second. I'm just completely I'm just completely taken with this story. Another former staffer, this sent to me by John Fox, another former Sanford staffer, because apparently this news article deals with several Sanford staffers. Another former Sanford staffer tells Fitz that McGuire once unbuttoned her blouse. Now remember, think about that photograph you've seen of the woman in the Christmas tree skirt blanket jacket, clapping her hands.
Nothing good can come of this, but keep going.
Another former Sanford staffer tells Fitz that McGuire once unbuttoned her blouse and hiked up her skirt in front of him to show off her see-through light blue panties. The incident allegedly occurred not at a bar, but inside the governor's office at the unoccupied desk of First Lady Jenny Sanford, no less.
Just how many vodka tonics do you have to have before you start doing stuff like this?
Woo! Yeah.
Man, alive.
Conservative, yeah. Values public servants gone wild.
Oh, and family values public servants don't gone wild. They're the wildest kind.
Yes.
Oh, God. I know. This is going to be great. We can't let this one go. And by the way, I haven't read that she wants to spend more time with her family yet.
And her family had better hope that she doesn't. I have a quote here. I fantasize about being the second female in an MFF threesome where the other two are in a committed relationship. I'd like to focus on pleasuring her and enhancing their intercourse.
I am feeling really creepy right about now. And I'm fairly fairly liberal and progressive myself.
Yeah, bear in mind, as John points out, she was on the South Carolina Board of Education, but she homeschooled her own kids. Well, she just didn't want them going to school and getting on that filthy internet. She knows.
Oh, well, yeah. How did, folks, you actually have to, you pull the lever. Admittedly, the machinery is hackable, but let's just, for the sake of this argument, just say that it's fair and clean. You used the word staff earlier. Did you?
Oh.
Did you use the word staff or staffer?
Staffer. Staff.
Staffer.
No, staff. I use staff. No, staffer. Staffer. I just checked here. Another former Sanford staffer.
I just was checking. Because I don't, yeah, maybe better leave that one alone, too.
Oh, this thing is just catching fire, Reverbo.
I think we should let everyone just run with this.
We now have her resignation letter.
Excellent.
And you know what? You were wrong.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Because if she was an honest person, many of you know by now that I have been accused of being a very tawdry, very dirty rotten woman.
Mm.
No. Many of you know that I have been carrying an ever-increasing burden with regards to my parents' health. Finally, last week, as I mapped out with my mom and her physician what our lives will look like for the next several months, it became clear that there is no way that I can adequately meet my family's and parents' needs while being a conscientious member, she said member, let alone chair of the State Board of Education. The math simply doesn't work. Which math? The one plus committed relationship? I reluctantly reached the decision to resign from the State Board of Education. I tendered my resignation to the governor on Friday so he could appoint someone who can fully participate in the important discussions and policy decisions that are in the immediate future of the board. It has been an honor to serve with all of you. The combined experience and passion around the board table is amazing. There is a camaraderie and a unity of purpose that has allowed room for respectful disagreement and constructive discussions in which the opinions and wisdom of all members are both sought and heard. I'm certain that the students of South Carolina are better for the investment that all of us have made to this end. While I regret not finishing my term as chair, I'm proud of the work that the board has accomplished this year. I am confident that you will finish the year strong under Chairman Moore's leadership with the continued support of the State Department of Education. I ask for your understanding as my family and I enter this next phase of our journey. One day I hope to again partner with many of you to continue to improve education for our state's children.
Get off the stage, will you? God, you can see she is prolific. Just say
you need to spend more time with your family and leave, sweetheart, and take your see-through undies with you.
Even if some wonderful radical hackers just pimp this woman out of a job, and none of this is true, all the better. This is priceless.
Well, I don't think this is on the same level as did Glenn Beck rape and murder a young girl in 1990. It sounds like these people have the goods. But you mentioned a little bit ago, Reverbo. You mentioned a little bit ago. You referred to South Carituckee.
Uh-huh.
I have the Tucky end of this whole thing.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I've got a Kentucky story that was sent to me, and a little bit more grim, shall we say, sent to me by our pal Cindy in the Great Northwest. There's a fella who is, of course, a repig-licking, who is a former member of the Kentucky legislature. He's a family values conservative. He is a former gubernatorial candidate. Again, in Kentucky, his name is Steve Nunn.
Okay.
He was at one point affianced to a young lady, 29 years old, named Amanda Ross. This past Friday, she was found shot to death outside her home in downtown Lexington, Kentucky.
Oh, my.
So the cops immediately began searching for the guy that she'd been trying to protect herself from for a while. You know, domestic violence charges, things like that.
Sure.
The cops went looking for Steve Nunn, age 56. And they found him at the edge of the Hart County Cemetery, where his parents are buried. He had placed mementos on his parents' graves and then slit his wrists. Along the way toward being apprehended, however, he picked up 6 counts of wanton endangerment of a police officer after he fired off a few rounds of a .38 caliber handgun when officers began arriving at the cemetery.
Can't make this stuff up.
No, and here's the buried lead from the story, and it's a McClatchy story. Here's the buried lead. No charges had been filed in the slaying as of this past Friday.
Not enough suspicion on Mr. Nunn, evidently.
I-O-K-I-Y-A-R.
So he didn't. They caught him before he ran out. He emptied himself of blood. He's still breathing. Is that the deal?
Well, or he's a Republican and screwed up the wrist slitting.
Oh.
You know, there's the kind that you can, you know, bandage up the wrist, and then there's the kind you don't get over.
I can see that. Before I do any go to the grand jury, I'm going to need some more evidence. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. He is the son. He's the son of the late Governor Louis B. Nunn, who was a candidate for governor in 2003. Oh, no. He was a candidate, too. He's Louis Nunn's son, who was a former governor of Kentucky, and he himself was a candidate for governor in 2003.
Well, I still...
So he went to Louis B. Nunn's gravesite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Interestingly, though, further down in the report, it says, they say that Nunn offered no resistance. Apart from, you know, that whole unloading the .38 caliber handgun thing.
Okay.
He was lucid and talking all the way to the hospital, according to Barron County Sheriff Chris Eaton. He's fine, said Barron County Sheriff Chris Eaton. He's fine. He's talking and stuff like that.
Yeah,
he's been friends, the sheriff there has been friends with Mr. Nunn for about 20 years. He's fine talking and stuff like that.
Talking and stuff.
And stuff, yeah.
Other than pointing a loaded firearm at peace officers and pulling the trigger, he really didn't put up much of a squawk.
No. but see, when you get down around that neck of Kentucky, the squeezing off a few rounds, no big deal. I used to love to go and see the rooms at the historic Talbot Tavern in Bardstown, where there were murals on the wall painted by the Crown Prince of France in exile back in the early 1800s. And back then, the sheriff of Nelson County, not Barron County, but Nelson County, sheriff of Nelson County, Kentucky, was fast friends, bosom buddies, with a couple of siblings, the last name of James. Missouri boys.
Yeah.
Jesse and Frank.
Frank, yes, sure.
And so they were holed up in the Talbot Tavern one evening, getting all liquored up on some of that, because when you get down to Nelson County, Kentucky, you into some fine liquor. And they were getting all loaded up on some of the local hooch and got so blind drunk. There was a big wall mural on one side. And bear in mind, this is a hotel room, okay, of small size. This is, you know, pre-indoor plumbing and all that stuff.
Hmm.
And on one wall was a mural of Don Quixote tilting at the windmill, as painted by the Crown Prince of France in exile, whose name was Louis Philippe, I do believe. And it had been on the wall there for about 50 years. Maybe 60. It was art by then. But the sheriff of Nelson County and one of the James boys, or maybe both of them, drinking the local hooch, decided it was time for target practice with their pistols. And began shooting at the wall. And it is a fine testament to the quality of that Nelson County hooch that they seldom hit the giant tree in the middle of the in the middle of the wall. And I don't think they harmed Don Quixote one iota. A stray did go into one of the masts of the windmill. So, you know, you get liquored up in Kentucky. Things happen.
And, yeah, and if you need some churching up, you can get that, too.
Yeah, and...
here's an idea for you. And this will... I don't know if you've ever thought of planning a... not a remote, necessarily, but let me put it another way. I think that the horn we should make have a road trip to the Creation Museum.
Oh, wouldn't that be fun?
What I'm saying is if you go, I will meet you there. And we could be coming from the Toledo, Dayton area, Cleveland, Columbus, Indianapolis, Cincinnati, Northern Kentucky, or Louisville, Lexington areas. They're open from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday and on the weekend. They're in Petersburg, Kentucky, and they would be happy to see us.
There's only one problem. I really militate at the idea of giving that old fraud any money. We'd have to go in as journalists.
Well, I was hoping we could all wear... I wanted to wear my horn blazer.
Well, absolutely.
Well, I'm critic at large. I mean, I already have the...
Yes, your horn blazer and your mandatory embroidered Hawaiian staff shirt underneath.
Oh, yeah, I've got everything. I think they ought to let me write in. But I don't know how you can go through your whole life and not visit this place. It's certainly... inspired our Kristen, what is her name again?
McGuire.
Yes, yeah, Kristen McGuire. Well, evidently you'll never forget her name. Hmm. But
I gotta come clean. I've got a secret crush on her now.
Let's look at her again here. I'm just getting some very strange thoughts. I don't know. Now, well, she can dedicate way more of her time to moving those nimble fingers across the keyboard now.
Fingers.
Yeah. I don't. Do you want to live in a country where basically a whole bunch of people hate our form of government? I don't.
No, I want to run those people out of my country. I want people in my country who want to work together to make our country better, who actually like the form of government.
There are people who are...
Or who see something in the form of government worth working on and worth keeping. Because I think you and I both acknowledge, Reverbo, that the form of government we have here is flawed.
Well,
and it doesn't, you know, I think back to that Neil Gabler article from a few months ago that Dr. Bill sent us where he talked about the fact that our form of government isn't really cut out to deal with major crises. It's cut out to keep government from screwing up in the first place. So it probably needs a little tweaking. Just tweak.
It probably does. There's too many people buying into the notion that the loud mouth at the end of the bar represents some kind of a national sample, represents some kind of a populist statement. There's too many people who are, you know, there's millions of us in the middle screaming, but nobody sticks a microphone in our mouth.
Right.
So it just looks like that jerk off at the end of the pew or at the end of the bar or at the back of the bus screaming his stupid freaking head off represents, you know, the national, what's the word we're looking for here? Consensus. And it's just such a, God, that's what's killing us. Anyway, good topics tonight.
Oh, and you are entirely responsible for them, and I still haven't ruined your glass of milk in the morning.
No, you haven't. Would that be, do you still drink milk, by the way?
Yeah, once in a while.
Once in a while?
And I have some in my coffee.
Yeah, would you drink the high test, or is it more of a 2% or 1%?
No, considering the amount that I do consume, it is my one concession. You know, I gave up, you may remember quite some time back, I gave up Velveeta. So I just like and I'm already decaffeinated, so coffee is not as good as it could be otherwise, unless you're getting Bob Alexander's stuff from Super Beans. But
say no more. You're not a saint, and you don't need to be.
So I drink decaf, and I make it palatable with a little bit of whole milk.
You're entitled to that.
So this article creeped me out too. And what it boils down to, yeah. See, you thought you were going to get away, didn't you?
It's trying to.
Yeah. No, you can't leave. No, this has to do with something, a mutant. you want to hear a conversation about milk that begins with the word mutant, don't you, Riverboat?
Very badly, yeah.
A mutant protein has invaded the world's dairy supply. The protein is called A1 beta-casein. And... trade groups, of course, you know, lobby groups for milk, you know, the people with the mustache ads and that stuff's harmless. But a growing body of research implicates A1 beta casein in diabetes, heart disease, autism, and schizophrenia. And thousands of years ago, apparently there was a cow that is now referred to as Cow Zero. And
Cow Zero?
Yes.
That sounds like a rock band. That sounds like a punk rock band. I love it.
It does. It does, and there may be one. Cow Zero and its offspring produced milk in which the amino acid histidine occupies the 67th position of the beta-casein protein found in milk solids. In non-mutant milk, the amino acid proline occupies that position. In the non-mutant original form of the A2 protein. And today, the average vessel of milk contains milk from many cows with a mixture of both A1 and A2 beta-casein, or casein, I don't know. But it all centers on the work of a guy named Keith Woodford, who is a professor of farm management and agribusiness at Lincoln University in Christchurch, New Zealand. And he's got a book out called Devil in the Milk.
Uh-oh, I knew we were heading here.
And he's basically analyzed 100 peer-reviewed studies to present his theory that A1 milk poses substantial health risks. And basically, he says that there are links to autism and schizophrenia, correlations in population studies and support from animal studies. But there's very little research on human population. Lots of rats, though. Okay. And rats being mammals, they are milk drinkers. And most particularly in this instance, a study, let me get down here. Here it is. Countries with the highest levels of A1 in their milk also have the greatest incidence of type 1 diabetes and heart disease.
Oh, there you go.
So they went and studied them some rats. One group of rats was fed A1 beta casein, and the other was fed A2. None of the A2 group developed diabetes, while half of the A1 group did. And A1 is also implicated in heart disease.
You say all this like it's a bad thing.
Diabetes, heart disease, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, The thing is, though,
it's easy to identify A1 and get it out of the milk supply, except for the fact that it's cheaper to just let the poison go. Which seems to be, Reverbo, an ongoing theme here, that it's easier to poison people. I don't suppose you caught the New York Times article over the weekend about water, did you? Of course you did.
How would I do that when I could just spend the entire weekend with Kristen McGuire?
Ah, Kristen. I remember the evenings by the keyboard.
Very interesting. You know, interesting thing about milk and human beings, humans... We're the only animal...
That drinks some other animal's milk.
And drinks it way past the time that most other animals have put drinking milk.
Yeah, but you're not going to talk me out of ice cream.
No, I'm not trying to do that. But the cal, the people, the pharmaceutical people who are pushing calcium on everybody are going to try to keep you drinking cow's milk from Cow Zero to forever. And of course, you don't need to drink milk to get calcium either. I mean, there's basically one reason. There's no health.
There's lots of calcium to be had from chewing up oyster shells. I know it for a fact.
Other than how delicious ice cream is, there's no health need for it.
What about those people in the Ukraine who live to be like 500 years old because they eat Danone yogurt?
Would you really want to live to be 500 years old?
Have you seen the pictures of those people?
Look, I'm going to have a hard time with the opposite sex. I got a hard enough time with this whole Kristen McGuire business. I want to just end this now.
Reverbo, take care. And like I said, tell Joe to get my shirt back to me.
I can't. I'm going to think about these things at the wrong time. Oh, God, what a conversation. Yeah, calling your show is like calling my brother, my friend.
I'm sorry, you beeped there. It's like calling what?
No other.
Okay, good. Good. I think.
Highest compliment I can give you.
Well, it's always a joy, Reverbo. Have yourself a wonderful evening.
Make it personal, Bob.
Make it personal. Bye now.
Goodbye.
And by the way, for those of you wondering, that A1 possibly poisonous, the mutant protein thingy, isn't in milk fat solids like butter and so forth. A2 milk is marketed in the U.S., produced by Prairie Land Dairy in Nebraska. Or they started that in May of 2007. By December 2008, they had quit marketing it because they were going to try to relaunch more broadly, they said. So everybody is out poo-pooing this guy's work, Professor Woodford. But still, you know, don't drink the water. The milk might not be safe. You know, what's next? For God's sakes, what's next? Let's see if there's anybody on the lines. Hey, welcome to the program.
Council of greetings, what's going on?
Hey, Spike!
Hey, you know, I had to call because once I heard you talking about see-through blue panties, it got the hamster in my head going.
No!
And, and of course, then I had to talk about Glenn Beck, because when you think of see-through panties, you think that, you know, a word that also describes Glenn Beck.
Pube? No.
What's that?
Human pube? No, sorry. I'm not gonna make you go there.
Well, it does start with a P.
Yeah, well, okay.
And if anything, in a YouTube clip I found recently, which I emailed you, I mass emailed every liberal talk show with that link because I think that's a pretty funny clip behind the scenes of Glenn Beck yelling at his writers to, I guess, do a tasteless joke about a cat. All right, he says, "I hate cats," towards the end of the thing. And I just thought that, you know, if everyone got... I mean, obviously, he's not running a dog fighting ring as Michael Vick, so maybe it's not quite as sensational. But
I'll bet he and former Senate Majority Leader Bill the Cat Killer Frist could have a wonderful conversation.
Yeah, exactly. I just think it's another element to show just how mentally twisted he is. I mean, because if anything, the people who are cruel to animals usually end up being like serial killers, rapists. You know, you're swine of society, so it another piece of the puzzle fits right into place with Glenn Beck. But this march, this quote-unquote protest, or better known as the mental wards giving out day passes, what a joke in that the uber-libertarian TV media gave it so much more extensive coverage than when there was, like, 100,000 people 6 years ago down there, better known as 500,000, over 20,000. And, you know, they were protesting a war, and it was kind of marginalized and given almost no attention whatsoever by the media, including in large part the print media for the most part.
Oh, yeah, and the percentage has been calculated now. The FreedomWorks people who were more or less behind this dummied-up rube job over the weekend have inflated the attendance by over 2,000% spike.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard claims of 1.5 million to 2 million. And meanwhile, I heard the D.C. police thought it was more between 20,000 to maybe at best 70,000.
Yeah, ABC News said 60,000 to 70,000 protesters. Meanwhile, here's one of those moments, Spike. ABC News on the TV box says 60,000 to 70,000 protesters. No, I'm sorry, on abcnews.com, 60,000 to 70,000 protesters. All right? Meanwhile, you know that top-of-the-hour news that you hear on some god-awful clear channel station that's being programmed out of God knows somewhere 6,000 miles away from wherever the local station is you're listening to? I'm Brad Limerick, ABC News. You know that one? You know, top-of-the-hour news kind of thing, and it's all sort of bouncy and fluffy and, you know, a man got hit by a truck today, but he got up and walked away. I'm Brad Limerick, ABC News, that kind of thing.
You know, IRN USA is even worse.
Right. Well, on ABC, so ABCnews.com says it was between 60 and 70,000 people. ABC News Radio, on the other hand, says tens of thousands. Which, of course, sounds like a much bigger number than 60,000.
No,
which is a much smaller number than the millions it would take to create that dummied up photograph. By the way, I got an email in from horn psychotherapist Rick Goodner. The photo in question that was being used by the Wingnuts is from the 1996 Promise Keepers March.
Okay.
That's where, and so that makes sense because they're a bunch of right wing frauds too. So I'm sure that somebody had a connection to a connection to a connection. Hey, use this photo. We're friends of Jesus. We're Promise Keepers. We don't mind if you lie.
Pay no mind to one of the Ten Commandments. I believe it was the Ten Commandments. Somewhere I remember in a Sunday school something about not lying, but apparently I guess that's because I didn't listen to enough Fox News when I got a little older. There's always the unscrupulous stuff. And obviously, ABC Radio, they're target demographic. I mean, let's be real. They're the ones that hand out the millions by millions per year to Sean Hannity to do whatever the hell it is he does. At least I can kind of describe what O'Reilly does. Hannity, he just kind of reads. He's like Ron Burgundy. He just reads off the teleprompter. Yeah, at least. The
great reference. Great reference.
I'm sure if you had Sean Hannity say, like, I'm a giant douchebag, you know, you put it on his teleprompter, he would just, without even blinking an eye, read, I'm a giant douchebag, and just keep going. But I kind of wish someone would, actually. Maybe some wealthy, crazy person could pay the writers to do that. But, what really cracked me up were the idiots that were tweeting about how great that was. You know, nothing's more dangerous than a right winger on Twitter, I suspect, because then they get to show just how stupid they are to the rest of the world, since anyone in the world can see this, and it became a trending topic. And myself, like many liberals that day, checked it out because we thought by him being a trending topic a lot, when celebrities die, they're a trending topic, and many of us had been hoping Glenn Beck was dead, and sad to see. There was just a lot of kooks and crackpots on the internet at one time.
Well, there is good news about the rodeo clown, or as Keith Olbermann has taken to referring to him as Lonesome Rhodes, from that wonderful 1952 film by Ilya Kazan, whose title now I can't remember. Glenn Beck has lost 50% of his advertising dollars.
But his ratings are up, and I think for him that's even better. I mean, I don't think that, you know, personally that's better, but in his mind, that's great. That means more people are listening to his madness now.
Right, but sooner or later, but remember, this is profit-driven programming. Sooner or later it'll catch up with him. Let's see, 62.
Not that network.
Well, yeah, maybe, yeah. let's see, at its highest sales, Beck, according to the data collected, this is from Think Progress, According to the data collected, the amount of money spent by national advertisers on VEX program per week was at its highest at approximately $1,060,000 for the week ending August 2nd, 2009. Since then, 62 advertisers have distanced themselves from VEX. Data collected for the week ending September 6, 2009 shows VEX estimated ad revenue at $492,000, equal to a loss of $568,000.
But most of that for
Rupert don't like Rupert don't like losses like that.
Well, most of those advertisers are still at Fox. They're just not on his time slot right now. Yeah, well, but Rupert lost, what was it, something ridiculous, like $80 million or something before they ever turned a profit at Fox News? Because he really just has it in place as a propaganda machine. He just, for a while, figured out a way also how to make money at it. I think even if the whole network took a dive in advertising money, he'd still run it because he's just that ridiculously wealthy that he could afford to run networks at a major loss.
Well, no, the losses pay off in after a while, and they pay off in terms of what he isn't spending.
Well, that too, yeah.
And what he's writing off, you know, if he's got anything that's profitable, you got to have losses to balance that. I mean, I'm no accountant, but you see what I'm saying.
Yeah, but I mean, he's used it to sway the public opinion, basically to change many regulations in this country that, you know, other ventures have been very profitable for him because of the BS he spoon fed his viewers on his news network.
And see, that's why I say I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead. Your personal favorite?
Well, my personal favorite is his business channel that nobody watches. I mean, literally. The Young Turks YouTube channel has more subscribers than people who are viewers to his business channel.
Oh, and rub it in. I know. No, I'm kidding.
But especially, like, as shallow as TV is, that channel is, like, the shallowest of all, desperately trying to get viewers, where they have, like, the happy hour show. I wrote Malloy about this one, where they get, like, these women look like high-dollar escorts or, you know, rejects from the Price is Right model pool. And, you know, in the short outfit, sitting next to a guy in a bar doing a show. And you can hardly hear them talking because they're in a real bar in New York where it's real loud in the background, which is terrible radio or TV for audio and radio. But, yeah, it's the drug that's in the watch. But I think what they didn't realize is that that's too high up in the band for, you know, hornballs. They're getting stuck a little lower down on their cable box. But, He just has too much money, Murdoch. I mean,
well, what I was gonna observe,
I wish you could get a fraction of what Glenn Beck's still getting for the horn. I mean,
oh, yeah, no kidding. But what I was gonna observe a minute ago, Spike, is simply that what you're talking about is why I tend to think that. Far more important than the fairness doctrine in any of this stuff is this business of media ownership. It's the change in the media ownership rules that helped to create Fox and started allowing Rupert to buy this paper and this station and that outlet. That is what that's what consolidated. Right-wing radio was already bad enough, but when the media ownership rules changed in the Clinton administration, that's when everything went sideways.
Yeah, and not only with newspapers, radio stations, TV stations, and networks with him. I mean, he's even basically got the racket on coupons. Parade magazine, I believe, also part of News Corp. I mean, it's ridiculous. Just things that aren't even so much news and stuff, but they're still, in a way, a form of media. He's also dominating. I mean, the coupon racket, you know, the people, or the, if you go to the supermarket and they have the machine, the kind of little devices that have the coupon, almost like the take a number at the deli thing, and you pull the coupon out. News Corp runs the company who handles that. You know, that's a division, again, of Rupert Murdoch. He has his hands in just so many things you don't even realize. I mean, he ran the Los Angeles Dodgers for all. They were awful when News Corp had it. As soon as he got rid of it, they got better. He has his hands in so many things, and that's why he can, if he loses money at Fox, not a big deal as long as it drives people to other things. And, I mean, essentially, they're probably filling up the lost ad time on Glenn Beck's show with advertisements for other things owned by Rupert Murdoch, so it's free advertising for him, on, you know, because he knows the ratings are up. So I think that's the other thing, that, you know, because it's not like the loss in advertising, there's less ads in the Glenn Beck show. They still the exact same breaks for that show, time-wise. It's even just so much deeper sometimes than we think about just how the evil sift of Rupert Murdoch is. He's controlling us from many other places. You wouldn't even. I believe he.
Well, and you're making a profound argument for, and here's that word I hate again, for consumer awareness spike. You've got to. We got to be label readers.
We don't want to do that. We don't want to be aware. We want to be oblivious and, you know, worried about Kanye West. Lame.
Yeah. Now, see, I said we weren't gonna. But you point exactly. And we will go this far as to say, come on, you know, how many radio shows, how many TV shows are going to be obsessed to some degree or another with that incident last night over a dummied up video music award? I mean, yeah. Jesus, does anybody still...
On a network that no longer shows music.
Right, I was going to say, does anybody show music videos anymore?
You have to go to their M2 and their they have like a Latino MTV.
Yeah, talk about being too far down the box.
Yeah, only in like the 200 channels here for us. Meanwhile, the main one's on 29. I think at this point, maybe they should have a reality show awards. I think they should be our TV, because it's all reality shows every time I go past there on the dial. And boy,
VH1 used to play some videos, didn't they? I mean,
yeah,
I remember
they do the
pop-up video and stuff like that back in the 90s, and
they used to have stand-up too, which was pretty good. I like stand-up comedy, actually. It's not enough of it on TV. And now all that is reality shows or people talking about, like, gossip news of the week. You know, like the number one story in Overman. Imagine, like, an entire format shows like that. Because normally when Overman, after he does Worst Person in the World, I just change channel because I usually have very little interest in his number one story. They don't really show much music. You have to go to VH1 Classic if you want to see music. Although at least there they show some actually cool stuff still.
There's a VH1 Classic?
Yeah, well, I have, I guess I have a halfway decent cable package from our company here. Yeah, it's Classic. They had the Woodstock movie, obviously, the weekend of Woodstock, but I've watched, like, they'll show old Kiss concerts and, a movie of the Stones in concert and stuff like that. Maybe you'll get, like,
I haven't seen Gimme Shelter in forever. Yeah.
Yeah, Gimme Shelter I saw on there. Yes, I mean, commercial breaks, but still, that's a good time to urinate or, you know, fill up the bong or whatever you do when you... Maybe I just gave away what I generally do during commercial breaks, but... You know,
yeah, that may have been just a smidgen of TMI there, Spike.
The urinating part, I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah, right. But I will shift gears on you. Tough day for your fish yesterday.
Yeah, well... Speaking of bongs, Ricky Williams was like pretty much one of the only bright spots today. The guy who I can't get enough of pointing this out. If he tests positive again for one more time for marijuana, he's banned for life. But Michael Vick will be back soon. The dog fighting guy.
Wow. Oh, what a juxtaposition. Oh, he shoots, he scores.
the worst part is. The Dolphins are, like, very gun-shy to use him more. That's why they still kept going to Ronnie Brown, because they're afraid, I guess, he'll eventually fall off the wagon, smoke some pot, and be gone again. So don't put your offensive plan around him like they once did. But in the same, it's absurd because even in real life, like, if you run in a dogfighting ring, you're going to get in more legal trouble than if you're caught with a dime bag. And it kind of cracks me up that the NFL doesn't treat it the same.
Sees it the other way.
Right. You know, I know people who've gotten into it. First of all, a lot of cops will just dump the bag of weed and say,
get out of here.
But get out of here, right. If you were in a dogfighting ring, other than, you know, really, really bad places in America, you're in a lot of legal trouble. You could end up doing from prison time. But, you know, I love this argument. I would say, well, he did his time. Well, all right, yeah, he did his time, but there's no jail sentence for Ricky Williams, so why does he have to do time if he tests positive? Especially since if he was having 200-yard games and high as a kite on pot, that's only more impressive that he was doing that, because I'm lucky I can even focus on a video game under the influence of that. But, you know, that's just me, maybe.
Dude, you're going to eat that?
But I just think it's a shame that, you know, Ricky Williams is still treated like the worst guy in the NFL.
Yeah, the word you're looking for is pariah.
Pariah. Okay.
Yeah, he's treated like a pariah. Right. Exactly. Well, you know, Ricky was a role model, and he let a lot of people down with that. Oh, spare me.
Yeah, because a guy that does yoga, he's a real threat to society. Those yoga people, man, they're always causing chaos in the streets of America. Those downward dogs. I have to look over my shoulder at night looking for yogis. They frighten me.
Yeah, but, well, you know, it's the hair, Spike. It's the hair.
Yeah.
You'll be pleased to know that you're reaching some target demographic, because you got Ferg chuckling like crazy over here.
Well, then I should really start laying off of some other references. I don't want to ruin the minds of the bright youth of America.
Well, he just walked in the middle of it, so no big deal. He's coming in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah.
My mind's already ruined.
Yeah, he lives with me. His mind's already warped.
It is West Virginia. No, I'm kidding, of course.
No, I'm not.
Well, it could be worse. You could be in South Carolina, which...
Yeah, getting creationism taught to you by an amateur pornographer.
Which before I forget, South Carolina, you know, everyone's wondering, you know, why are they so against Obama? That was the first state to secede from the Union. Is it really hard to figure out? Do the math.
Yeah, well, I tried to point that out as well, Spike. You know, you got to remember that Thomas Jefferson, Ben Franklin, and John Adams drafted up the Declaration of Independence, and they had some language about slavery in it. But they had to have all 13 colonies going along in order to get the thing, out of the Continental Congress. So consequently, when that whole business about slavery popped up, I forget what the little pissant's name was from South Carolina, but he said, no, we clearly cannot sign this yet as long as you've got 11 people listed as people. And that's where that whole 3/4 of a human being garbage came from.
Yeah, yeah. But, and for that matter, I'm a liberal redneck, so I've been to many NASCAR races in my life, and I went to Darlington one year and stayed, because it was cheaper, 90 minutes away in the state capital of Columbia. And aside from the fact that it was hilarious to us having not really experienced the university, and we happened to be down there opening week for them and seeing old men with the heads on their heads screaming, go Cox, which... First of all, just to see that on regular television was hilarious, because it was just such a dirty joke to us from the outside.
Dirty-minded, you're just a bunch of dirty-minded Yankees. That's what you are. You know.
But they have the Strom Thurmond Highway in the state capitol, and the thing I remember most about Strom Thurmond was he was the segregationist candidate for president. So as far as the state capitals, one of their major roadways.
Right, and again, here, let me point this out one more time in case anybody wasn't listening. This guy named Joe Wilson, whose name isn't really Joe, it's Addison Graves Wilson. Addison Graves Wilson, who screamed out, you lie, is a protege of Strom Thurmond. Okay?
And criticized his black daughter for coming out and saying who her father was.
Bingo! Come on. Enough with the shock already.
And before I go, what's with all these right wingers claiming their name's Joe and it's not? And now you know why I'm Spike instead of Joe. Apparently, I didn't realize it at the time, but apparently that's why. I guess I couldn't go with the name Joe. I'm not a Republican. But you know, the Joe the plumber, and that's not his first name, and Joe Wilson, which I'm wondering how many Americans are still confused. Why did Barry Plame's husband scream at Obama?
I'm one.
Tom Harbin got caught by that one for a minute. Like, wait a minute, Joe Wilson, live on the air. I think some people, I guess he was just listed for the most part as Congressman Wilson. South Carolina, and then all of a sudden people start saying his name. Go, wait, what?
But see, I've been paying attention to this kind of thing since way back when Eugene Finnerman from over at FinnermanWorks.com and your RDA of Irony pointed out to me that Mitt Romney's real name, and again, right-wingers and aliases, go figure. Mitt Romney's real name is not Mitt. It's Willard. Okay, you know, like the movie about the rat.
And then you go
down to Louisiana, and you've got that weird little exorcist down there running around on the state dime, going to prayer meetings and so forth. Calls himself Bobby Jindal. You know, talk about show me the birth certificate, for Christ's sakes. I mean, this guy's never been through a legal name change. His real name is Piyush.
Yeah, well, that's no shock that his first name isn't Bobby. I worked for a base that was a franchise, and the franchisee was from the Middle East, and he told everyone his name was Mike, but his name was Muhammad. But it was dealing with Americans. People were a little less. Not that I like Jindal, but I could also understand that.
Do you know the story about how he chose Bobby?
Probably Bobby Kennedy.
No! No, I wish it was. Piyush Jindal was growing up and saw reruns of the Brady Bunch, and he identified with Bobby Brady.
I wish he would have liked Marsha more.
Yeah, because then he could be Marsha Jindal.
And not to mention, every time he does something stupid, Marsha, Marsha, Marsha could be the headline.
Yeah, or he could walk around going, oh, my nose, oh, my nose, oh, my nose.
You know, well, I won't go there, but too bad he wasn't a fan of films Clarence Thomas likes, because that would have been even better as the name for the governor of Louisiana.
Long Jindal. You betcha.
Before I go, one more. I'm like Columbo now.
One more thing before I go.
That's a reference older than me. I shouldn't even get that.
No, but I got it. And it was very well done, too. That was very well called, Spike.
But I don't have a glass eye to go with it. But that was a low blow.
No, that was cheap. That was cheap.
I used to get calls when Citibank, basically, my information was stolen, and I've always suspected from the inside when I had a card through Citibank, which it wasn't a Citibank card when I first got it, but Citibank acquired them, and then suddenly my information became ripped off. And I got charged for porn sites, which the thing that bothered me more than anything else was not only did I not approve it, but no one gave me the password, so at least I could enjoy it since I had the password.
Right. Yeah, it's one thing to get stuck. It's one thing to get stuck for the cost of a porn site. It's another when you don't get the porn.
Yeah, at least if I got the porn, at least I feel like I got something out of it, you know.
Yeah, you got value.
And stains and a few other things. But the thing that really got me the most was they'd have people from India call me. And, you know, these services, they watch, like, American culture, and they pick names from them. I guess that's what Bobby Jindal did. But the best was a guy called one day, and he said his name was Santa. And I don't think that this guy in India realized how ludicrous it was for him to pick freaking name of Santa Claus to use as his, you know, most of them to go like Philip or Chester. You know, they try to sound kind of high society.
Yes, yes, I know exactly what you mean.
I guess he thought the red suit made him kind of like, I don't know, a pimp, or I don't know what made him pick Santa Claus. Maybe he likes Coca-Cola a lot. I have no idea. But he ended up saying his name's Santa, and after that happened, I put this long, rambling message on my voicemail that said, if you're calling from a call center overseas, I have no interest in talking. I just hang and waste my time. Many people who'd call my house when I wasn't home would get annoyed. They had to listen to a five-minute message before they could get to the beep. But the calls slowed down after a while because I guess they got annoyed at me yelling at them in my voicemail. But I guess he could have been Santa Jindal.
Well, I tell you what, you're going to have to take this thing on the road, Spike, because clear a couple of the more marginal references, and I promise you're going to be huge, huge with the 8th and 9th grade crowd because you're absolutely killing over here.
Well, and, you know, I won't have to possibly allegedly kill a woman in 1990 and then get a crazy Fox News show and misspell oligarchy in other words. And I shouldn't make fun of his spelling. I'm like the worst speller in the world. It looked more like he misspelled orgy than oligarchy the way he had it up there. But seriously, I wouldn't mind doing stand-up, but I'm afraid that I might become Glenn Beck since he was once a stand-up. There's a lot of right-wing stand-ups, and I don't understand why, but...
I heard him one time on the radio. It was back when I was down in Alabama, and they carried him down there. And he was going off on some story about a bug. And, you know, geez, I mean...
Did he screech like a girl?
Yes.
No, he didn't. Have you heard the remixes? The remixes of Get Off My Phone on the Internet?
No.
The music?
No.
Yeah, they people mixed it to music, so there's now songs of Get Off My Phone.
Is it kind of really like what was done with what's his name? And it's a series of tubes. The remix of what's his name? The creepy senator from Alaska.
Yeah, but probably better than that because I just love hearing him scream. Yeah. If you put a pair of vice grips on my nads, I don't think I could hit what he hit at the end of that Get Off My Phone rant. Maybe John William Bobbitt made that sound that one time. I guess that's why he doesn't like cats. I don't know. You don't know how hard it is for me just not to come out and say that word every which way.
Yeah, I know. But you know what? The restraint that you are showing, Spike, is absolutely admirable. And I say that with all the admiration in my heart. Because, you know, it's hard to avoid some words when saying them sort of in you and in the situation.
Well, actually, when talking about his followers, it's hard not to drop the F-bomb. I mean, arguments they make. Oh, and before I forget, my favorite thing this past week, it started from when they did it at the NASCAR race, and it set everything off in my head, and I've been using it on the right wingers ever since, and I think it's the greatest thing to get them at, these ones who throw socialism so haphazardly around, is that before the NASCAR race in Richmond, because of 9/11, they did the pledge before the national anthem. I felt like I was in, like, junior high watching that. Like, who does the pledge at a sporting event? You know, and I started...
Yeah, that is kind of out there, isn't it? But leave it to NASCAR.
And the birthers that time with that lady with the Ziploc bag with her certificate in it, because I guess she thought she was going to fall in a puddle. And it set a thing off in my head, like, wait a minute, they have this thing for the pledge, these right-wingers who keep saying Obama's a socialist. Didn't the socialist write the pledge? I looked it up, Francis Bellamy. Wouldn't you know it, a Christian socialist?
Yep.
So every time they...
Not just any old Christian, a Baptist.
Oh.
Yeah. Back in the day when actually some of them still remembered what Jesus would do, other than not killing Michael Moore with their bare hands.
Yeah, there is that.
Which, by the way, too, every time I... On Twitter, you know, how he gloated over the whole, or, you know, gloated over the Kennedy thing. They'd somehow have an excuse for it. But they could never quite excuse certain of his heinous comments like that one.
Speaking of heinous, did you see probably what was the most heinous sign coming out of the whole teabagging affair this weekend?
That were salad tossers also?
Oh.
No, go ahead.
He'll be here all week. Try the veal. Don't forget to tip your waitress. There was a sign there that said, "Bury Obamacare with Kennedy."
Oh, you know what? I did read about that. Yes. I always have to ask because I never know what's the next craziest thing they'll say. Yeah, I did read about that. Yeah. But it's okay when they do it. Just don't we do it. You know, when we say, oh, I wish Glenn Beck would be dead, and they tell us we're terrible. I think he took the gloves off. We're just slapping them around barehanded now, like he wants.
Well, yeah, and that's and of course, right up there also was the woman who had her Obama equals Hitler sign that she immediately, the minute she saw that a camera was on her, spun it around to say, you know, no Obamacare.
Well, yeah, I just love how they think that the Nazis somehow liked mixed-race people. I guess they forgot that part of the Holocaust. You know, and also the other thing, and then I will finally go, with the march, the protest, or whatever you want to call it, was the nicknames that the people who don't drink the Kool-Aid were saying on Twitter, including my personal favorite, the Million Moron March.
Ooh, that's good.
Snakes on a Parade.
oh, that one took a minute, but that's good.
Intelligence impaired Americans. What was the? Oh, there was another great one too. I'm sure people like Lottie in the chat room will be coming up with them in a minute.
No, but snakes on a parade. That was.
I've had enough of these mother.
No,
yeah.
Yeah, he's going all.
I feel about them. Yeah,
yeah, the boy's going all Sam Jackson on me over here.
Yeah, I'm ready to go Sam Jackson on the Glenn Beck audience. there was also there was a Mike Malloy fan who referred to it as Suicider Convention, which was that was pretty good. There was another one, I can't remember it now.
Well, you know, it reminds me of something that I say from time to time, Spike, and that is these people are so stupid they could screw up a one car parade, and you know, basically they did.
Yeah, yeah, and
'cause, I mean, you know, whenever you're running a picture of somebody else's event on the mall and claiming it as your own, it's pretty much a confession that you've screwed up the one car parade.
You know, well, my personal favorite actually of that whole thing was that he phoned it in. He was basically the guy who was, you know, when he had his gator tears about, I wish we'd get back to 9/12 like we were that day. And, you know, that's basically where this was born from, was him crying like, you know, something you see through blue panties. And,
you know, you just have to keep coming back to that, don't you? It's inescapable.
I don't want to see. I kind of wish she was my aide. I don't know. You know, I could only pay her $5 a week, but in South Carolina, that's probably big money. you know, he sat in his studio in New York, or wherever his studio is in faux land, and basically spoke to them through that, which would be like going, like, let's say the local biggest venue, I guess, which would be at the West Virginia University in Morgantown. You know, Bruce Springsteen, E Street Band would be there. Everyone buys tickets and goes. And they, on the big screen, hey, how's it going? We're actually in Asbury Park tonight, but we're glad you came to see us in West Virginia. I mean, how could you, if I went there and the guy behind it all didn't feel like showing up, I'd feel like I really wasted time and, you know, a little alienated, but that's how stupid these people are. They didn't realize that he's blowing you off when you're traveling to D.C. for them. You know, and not to mention, too, the buses that people were paying $25 each to go a very long way, which meant someone was paying the rest of the bill to the bus companies, which, wouldn't you know it, might have been private insurance companies, lobby groups.
Oh, there goes that money again.
What's that?
I said, oh, there goes that money again.
Yeah, yeah. Dick Armey's people were, you know, really bankrolling these buses to bring the people, since most of them are.
And how pathetic are you when you think, you know, I think I'll take that free bus ride to Washington, because you know how it is, right, with Republicans. I mean, they got a juice box and a peanut butter sandwich for going.
And more white people collect welfare in this country than anything else, especially in, you know, what we consider in the North the redneck part of the country. Yeah. No offense to people who are educated. Actually, I should figure something better, because I describe myself as a liberal redneck, so I just slam myself. But, you know, let's see. So the big people behind this were the crazy white people who are poor and the old people who get Medicaid, which means Glenn Beck's biggest demographic are people who depend on socialism. You know, all these old people.
You do have a point.
Healthcare. You know, and then not to mention all these people who, you know, probably are getting some sort of government assistance, if not welfare, maybe food stamps or something, and then carrying on saying we need less government, not realizing that means we're going to take your life vest away in a second with less government. I said it a few times.
Makes your brain hurt, doesn't it?
I said it a few times to the Beckites, you know, the one thought it was a very mean comment for me to say, but it is, if I was as dumb as you, I'd just shoot myself already, because I couldn't live being that dumb. I really could. You know, it's sad too, because some, I actually know some people, including some from South Carolina, who, as long as we don't talk politics, are really nice people. Man, oh man, you get them in politics, man. I just want to just.
Nope, goes completely. Yeah,
you know
goes
what, Adam?
It goes completely sideways. Well, that's like, you know, one of our longest standing is our dear friend David down in South Carolina. And you know, one of the beautiful things about this show in general is the fact that you can hear voices from all over this country, many of whom are Southern voices, and they're putting the lie. You know, it's what made, I think there's value to it. They are putting the lie spike to this idea of a solid South, because there's lots of liberals in the South. I grew up in a liberal family in the South, okay?
Well, Jimmy Carter was from the South. I mean, how quickly the South has moved from the Jimmy Carter evangelicals who actually want to do good to the bat CC's crazy right-wing evangelicals who just want to do the worst stuff to society, quote-unquote, under the name of God. Yeah, and of course, the number one culprit behind it all is Ronald Reagan, because I guess a celebrity could sell Americans on just about anything. So we should be glad that Billy Mays died, because God knows if he became so popular they became president, what he'd have us doing. Maybe lines of OxyClean. But, I mean,
you scored with, yeah, you scored with Billy Mays there, too, again. Yeah.
Yeah, well, he's also a great, I won't do it to save your ears because you probably got headphones on, but I can do a great Billy Mays imitation. And anyone can, just yell.
Yeah, that's, just
Oxy.
Yell.
Just
Oxy. Try Oxy. But, alright, I gotta go because if I keep talking about Glenn Beck, all the years I've been calling the show, you've never had to dump my call, and if I keep pushing it, you're gonna end up dumping me.
Yeah, you're gonna, yeah, you'll push the envelope a little too far, but, no, great call, Spike, and great conversation, man. And I don't know, maybe Ricky Williams and the Fish get him next week.
Yeah. Oh, what's the mascot for Ferd's team?
They are the Blazers.
Which we suck.
Well, go either way, go Blazers.
All right, appreciate it. Mighty sporting of you, Spike. Later. From Easton, PA, that is, well, maybe not Easton now, but that's our buddy Spike. And just keeping things rolling for a couple more minutes. Oh, nope, maybe not. All right. A couple more minutes left in the program. And just to, I don't know, hit a couple of high notes, so to speak. Or perhaps, as the way the show's been going, maybe they're low notes. Depending on how you look at things. Oh, just another thing to throw out there for you. The sake of getting the complete picture of who not really named Joe Wilson is, namely Addison Graves Wilson, the right-wing, unreconstructed, racist, bigot son of a from South Carolina. Well, you remember, and speaking of, you know, that vein of repiglic, and there's a creepy bastard from Iowa in the House by the name of Steve King. We've talked about him on this program before. This is the guy who said, you know, things would be just fine with you homosexuals if you'd just not tell everybody that you're homosexual. Just keep it to yourselves, for Christ's sakes. Only he didn't say for Christ's sakes. He's got a letter going around to his Republican colleagues in the House. He's trying to get a petition going defending Addison Graves Wilson. You know, come on, I'm looking at a story here from a liberal website. Guys, his name's not Joe. It's Addison Graves Wilson. Quit calling him Joe. That's like calling Joe the Plumber, when his name's Sam. Or calling Bobby Jindal, when his name's Piyush. Anyway, Steve King is down to, he has to defend Addison Graves Wilson on all fronts now, to the point now of even defending him for his stance on what? Yeah, no, really, not kidding.
Well, he is an officer and a gentleman. Everyone that knows him knows that. The politics of South Carolina, I think you'd have to understand that to comment on each of those pieces. I've been down there in Joe's district. I was there for tax day on the 15th of April. And being a son of the South puts you in a different position when it comes to the Confederate flag. It means
really? Being a son of the South? Okay, this is a guy from Iowa. And just a little reflection, there's a great big Iowa monument for young Iowa boys who left the farms and left the fields at the behest of President Lincoln and signed up and joined up and went south. And if you ever get a chance to go to the Shiloh National Battlefield Park, you will see an Iowa monument there. And you will see Iowa, 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 Iowa on the little headstones row on row there because of the carnage that took place there. Remember, Shiloh was a horror to the country. It took place in, April of 1862, and it was the first real wake-up call to a shocked nation that this conflict might be right ugly, because there were more casualties in the Battle of Shiloh than in the American Revolution, the War of 1812, and the Mexican War combined. You know, a lot of firsts in the Civil War, and that was one of them at Shiloh. But you'll see, there's an Iowa monument to the Iowans who came to fight for freedom. And there are headstones. So when Steve King wants to talk about being a true son of the South, no, he can kiss my grits. Because he doesn't have the first understanding of what being a Southerner is really all about. He makes that same assumption that I was talking about with Spike in regard to Southern people. That, you know, that all Southerners are the same. That all Southerners are dead from the neck up. Racists. Vote Republican on account of that. Fundamentalist phony Christians. So, you'd have to understand, being a son of the South puts you in a different position when it comes to the Confederate flag. You know what? It's one of those moments when I wish I had the teleporter. You know, Scotty, fire it up. Shepard, why did I say Shepard? Sherman. Sherman, set the way-up machine for wherever Steve King's having dinner. Because I want a word with him about what it means to be a son of the South. A direct forebear of mine, well, maybe not direct, he was brother to a great multi-great-grandmother of mine, was a secessionist slave preaching follower of Christ. And he went all over the Virginias, or what was at that time one Virginia, and preach the rightness in God's eyes of owning human flesh, and how it was endorsed by Christ Jesus. I have ancestors who fought on both sides of the Civil War. But that line, that hateful, hateful line, being a son of the South puts you in a different position when it comes to the Confederate flag. Horse shit. I don't have a different position about the Confederate flag. If it was up to me, that godforsaken thing would be burned wherever it was shown. It is not a symbol of the rebellion. It is a readopted and rebranded symbol of racism and bigotry and intolerance and hatred and murder and night riders. And young black men wrapped in chains and thrown in rivers or hung from trees. That's like saying being a son of Germany puts you in a different position when it comes to the swastika. What a loathsome bastard Steve King is.
there for tax day on the 15th of April, and being a son of the South puts you in a different position when it comes to the Confederate flag. It means something entirely different to the people who have ancestors that fought in the Civil War on the south side of the Mason-Dixon line.
You son of a bitch, don't you ever make a generalization about me. Because that's what he just did. He just made a broad generalization to suggest that the people who are descended from soldiers who fought on the side of the South are therefore still bigots and still racists to this very day. What a filthy piece of human waste Steve King is. What a repugnant waste of breath and air and water and flesh Steve King is for making that kind of an assumption.
So I think Maureen Dowd is trying to whip this up, and I know she also tried to bring race into it. I didn't know what race she was talking about when I first read her line on that.
Yeah, because there aren't any races in your little lily-white world, Steve King, except that lily-white race that is the one that you believe should be the only one that holds power. In South Carolina, when he was in the state legislature, Addison Graves Wilson voted against his own party and voted to keep that hateful banner flying over the South Carolina Capitol. That's what an extremist, that's what an unmitigated weirdo Addison Graves Wilson is. In his petition, he even notes the Confederate flag business as part of his reason for citing what a brave man Congressman Wilson is. Bull. Bull. Just bull. So, you know, the idea of racial purity was raised during our conversations. I think Reverbo raised it. And, you know, I got this article and I found it shocking. And it takes a lot to shock me. But this is one of those things that needs to be out there because it's a worldwide problem. It's not an isolated problem. There are ads running on the internet and on Israeli television right now. And they are launched, these ads, they have been launched by the Israeli government. Even members of Israeli media describe these ads as utilizing scare tactics. It's an $800,000 ad campaign, small by our standards. But it is designed, among other things, to get Israelis to inform. Really, remember, we're talking about the nation of Israel, the state of Israel here, formed out of the ashes of the Holocaust, right? Urging Israeli citizens to inform on their Jewish friends and their Jewish relatives who live in the rest of the world, whom they deem to be in danger of marrying a non-Jew. Because I guess there are statistics now that indicate that half of all Jews outside Israel marry non-Jews. Welcome to humanity! Black folks marry white folks, Muslims marry the Hindus, Buddhists marry Jainists, Shinto marry Confucians, whatever! Because we're all human, you see, and we're all capable of interbreeding.
It's not like dogs and cats. The ad has a voiceover by one of Israel's leading news anchors, and it says, "More than 50% of diaspora youth assimilate and are lost to us." Really? They marry a non-Jew and become lost to us. It's a hell of a definition of lost, isn't it? It's a strategic national threat. This is sickening. I mentioned the ashes of the Holocaust. That Holocaust was caused in part by a German desire for racial purity. And by the way, if you think it doesn't matter here, a great deal of the ad campaign is aimed at the United States and Canada, because 5.7 million Jews live here and constitute the world's largest Jewish population. After the ads ran, more than 200 Israelis rang a hotline to report the names of Jews living abroad after the ad ran the first time on Israeli television. The callers left email addresses, they left Facebook pages, they left Twitter accounts. The ad itself features a series of missing persons posters on street corners, down in subways, on telephone, the payphone boxes. And it shows pictures of young Jewish kids. And those pictures appear above the word lost, printed in several different languages. Then the voiceover says, "Anyone who knows a young Jew living abroad should call this hotline. Together, we will strengthen their connection to Israel so that we don't lose them." Lose. Lose. It is 2009. It is 2009, 9 years after, 8 years after the end of the bloodiest century in the history of humanity, and we've still got countries and peoples talking about racial purity. Imagine that. And by the way, folks in Israel do say that this is driven by, this is driven by Israel's right wing. So just in case you thought we're the only country on earth that has problems with a sickening right-wing movement, we're not. Can you imagine defining a human being as lost if they just happen to love the wrong person? That bloodiest of centuries so far is over, and we are on track to maybe be even bloodier in this one. And things like this prove just exactly how far we have to go. Lost because of who one loves. And informing. Informing on. Calling. Giving personal details about where they can be found. How they can be contacted, how they can be pressed so that they won't become lost. The only hope humanity has, the only hope humanity has, is the day when we stop dividing ourselves and calling ourselves this or that or the other and refer to ourselves only as what we are. human. Because once we realize that we are all human, racial purity concepts such as lost will in themselves be lost and good riddance to bad rubbish. Lost. One quick phone call before we go. Hey, welcome to the program.
Bob, it's Kevin again from Brooklyn.
Hey, Kevin, sorry I lost you.
Yeah, sorry I lost you too. I just want to say that just shows a true lack of faith. And this is why I don't go for the extremist, fundamentalist, whatever. It's because their faith is so weak, they cannot have diversity. And just, to me, that's a...
Well, remember, there's bigotry involved in this, too, and overt racism.
Oh, yeah, you know. But my thing is, it just shows a true lack of faith.
I think you're right. A weakness of faith, a faith that cannot withstand challenge, a faith that... But the thing is, they're not even talking necessarily about religion. This is you know, race stuff. When you can't even go back in history, you know, that's like saying, you know, I'm Scots-Irish, and if I'd married an Italian girl, I'd be lost.
Mm. And
you know, how long, you know, Malloy's got an Irish name, and I guess the other half of his family is Italian. He's referenced his Italian heritage a million times. How lost is Malloy?
He's not.
Yeah, it doesn't seem very lost to me.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's okay to call yourself whatever, but open to accepting people who may be something else of whatever. You know, for years I used to only date, like, African-American women, and since... You know, I'm more open now to diversity now. You know, after having a... Because at the end of the day, you know, compatibility sees no color or religion.
Yeah, you either get along or you don't.
Exactly. And all too many times, I've often got along better with women who are not African-American than African-American women, unfortunately.
That's an issue of human compatibility and how skin color can have anything to do with that. I mean, heritage certainly can, upbringing certainly can.
Yeah.
But the idea that some amorphous designation of, who came from the land between the Tigris and the Euphrates 12,000 years ago, sorry, not working for me.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, when they say that term lost, it's like, why did over 6 million Jews die for them? And what they died for means nothing. Because it was all about acceptance of others.
Right, you know, I know a guy who's fairly well-versed in history who said, you know, had Hitler not lost, gone absolutely, you know, been the vomitous racist, the anti-Semitic monster that he was, if he had included the Jewish people living in that area in his war effort, he would have rolled right over Russia and probably Britain too. And you know what a horrifying thing to contemplate that is.
Oh yeah, well I think that's why the United States. That's the same direction the United States. The only thing you got to understand the right wing movement in America. It's very diversified. Even though it's racist, it's willing to accept diversity as long as you're going along with it. Like a lot of black conservatives, I call them, you know, basically corporate Clayton Bigsby. Remember the Dave Chappelle?
Yeah, oh yeah.
You know, and that's what they are. It's willing to go along with their whatever. You can be inclusive. And that's the thing. That's what puts them over the top, over the Nazis, and that's why they scare me more, this Republican Party.
And I can understand it. Got to roll, Kevin. Thanks for getting the last word in. I appreciate it.
Okay, bye.
Bye now. It's our buddy Kevin from Brooklyn. Time for us to roll out of here. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for a great start to the week.
I'll look forward to tomorrow evening as well. Thanks to John Fox, Peter Godbold, Ben Birch. Thanks to our chat room moderators, our news ninjas, bloggers. Congratulations to Matt Osborne for making the front page of the Huffington Post. How about that? That don't just happen every day. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and CoalRiverWind.org for their continuing sponsorship of these programs. Thank you to all of you who, with your calls, your emails, your chat room participation, and your financial contributions, help make this the amazing little experiment that continues and rolls onward. PayPal buttons at headonradionetwork.com, so is the snail mail address. Be great if you could use it. It's it stays pretty grim around here. Who am I kidding? So that's the program. Thanks for hanging out in here, Ferg, for a little bit. Time for homework.
No, it isn't. I have to write the paper.
And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.
With America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! All is right with the world. It is Monday evening. The horn is back on the air. I'm Bob. Grateful to John Fox for a heroic effort last night bringing all Foxed Up on the air, despite the fact that he is a man tormented by allergies right now. You could hear the heroic quality of his voice, and I'm not making light because I see down where John is, or depending on one's view of the universe, up where John is, Australia that is. Winter is ending and spring is coming, and things are blooming, and so yeah, John was a little bit stuffy, and I really appreciate him getting the show on the air last night so that we could get Conversation Radio started on Sunday night like it should. And I hope you're feeling better, John. I understand John is dosing himself with local raw honey, which is a great way to beat back allergies. So, good on you, John. Good luck. Heading to the chat room here in a second. It's been an interesting weekend. I just got the streaming computer back on the air in time to get us going this evening.
keep your fingers crossed, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that things, you know, that all the little electrons keep holding hands until, you know, roughly 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Because we got a lot to talk about, but don't we always? I want to commend everyone, by the way, for a wonderful show this past Friday. Friday on the front porch was just Jim Dandy, start to finish. And of course, as ever, this being conversation radio, I can take very little of the credit for that. I have to afford the credit to you who make things so very interesting, so very compelling, and prove, in fact, prove the theory. Of conversation radio, of a model that works differently from typical over-the-air terrestrial right-wing radio, in which the caller gets just long enough to say, "Magadettos from Busted Knuckle Rush, I just want to lick your behind. I love you so much." Well, that's wonderful. Let's talk about what a communist Barack Obama is. Yeah. But anyway, speaking of calling Barack Obama names, just a little something to throw out there for the fun of things. You know who that filthy animal Neil Bortz is, right? And he is. I mean, come on, please. Well, Neil Bortz, I guess he decided he hadn't done anything obnoxious enough to get himself into the news lately. So, tweeting as Talkmaster kind of sounds like a guy with a microphone and a ball gag, doesn't it? Jesus. I don't even know what that... tweeting today, Neil Bortz, on the one-year anniversary of the collapse of Lehman Brothers. Now, why did that happen again? It was probably socialists, wasn't it? It's just like what the little guy with the Charlie Chaplin mustache said 70 years ago. Das ist die Arbeit von Kommunisten. This is the work of communists. Yeah, it was the socialists, the liberals, who caused Lehman Brothers. It couldn't have anything to do with predatory capitalism or anything like that, crony capitalism, anarcho-randianism. No. Couldn't be any of that now, could it? No. But anyway, this is the quote that was put out. President Obama spoke on Wall Street, and the purpose was, quote, to try to breathe new life into efforts to overhaul the financial regulatory system. In other words, trying to chase all the damn foxes out of the hen house. You know what I mean? So, naturally, Talkmaster Neil Bortz immediately tweeted, quote, he tweeted that this is what he said. Obama on Wall Street today. That's like sending a child molester to speak to a kindergarten class. Yeah. Yippers. I don't think I could ever succeed as a shock jock, just trying to find the next outrageous thing to say. And again, that goes back to that model of conversation radio. I'm not here to shock you. I'm not here to thrill you or titillate you. If we together get a giggle once in a while, that's okay. But I don't feel a need to one-up anybody. But in right-wing radio, that's all it is. It's a constant attempt among these right-wing blatherheads, gas bags, be they what the corporate subsidized welfare queens behind microphones. That's what they are. Welfare queens. Corporate welfare queens. It's a constant attempt to one-up each other. You know, let's see, Limbaugh had...